request prayer for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Brother Carla requests prayer for his wife, Sister Lorna, who is at home ailing with fever, headache and pains throughout the body. Prayer is also requested for his son, Michael, also at home with a bad cold. There's any others having some special need that they would like God to meet, might be domestic, might be financial, might be spiritual, might be physical, whatever it might be. He's all sufficient tonight. I am that I am. Our Heavenly Father, as we stand here in your presence tonight, Lord, sing this song, let the church be the church. The church triumphant is alive and well, because a mighty conqueror dwells within that church. It is he who have made the church triumphant. It is he who is here in that church tonight to bring to pass every promise spoken to this day. Lord, how we thank you that the seven thunders will wake up the bride. Lord, as we begin to wake up, Lord, we begin to realize that it's you inside of us. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And Father, as we stand here tonight, Lord, be reminded that your prophet said, wherever he went and found an overcoming church, it was because the people knew that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. God, we thank you for that revelation tonight. To know that just like in Adam there was a masculine and feminine spirit, so in Christ, the second Adam, there was a masculine and feminine spirit. And that feminine spirit had to be taken on and put in another body to become a bride. That bride was a perfect matching piece to the bridegroom. And Lord God, to see that this is the hour when that bride is being unveiled. But that feminine spirit is now here in another body being revealed. And Lord, we recognize we are at match in peace. What an assurance of faith it brings us. Lord, we stand here tonight with that faith, with that confidence, knowing that this is a triumphant church, alive and well tonight. She's ordained to overcome. She's ordained to possess every gate of the enemy. For through confession and faith, she's subject to all the powers of God that is in heaven. Father, these requests we have read tonight, there's one here, standing here, Lord, that desires a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there's also one standing here who is mightier than us, who have come to baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. May the baptizer of the Holy Ghost and fire and the candidate for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, oh God, may faith and love bring them together, Father, into such a union in this service. And every other candidate that is that we baptize with the Holy Ghost, may the word bring such a faith in their heart that Lord God, faith will bring them to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he would baptize them with the Holy Ghost and fire tonight. Hallelujah. Grant it, Lord. Even our sister Lorna at home, sick in her body, a little son also. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, as we stand here, the church of the living God tonight, in the line of duty, Lord God, we send a word of healing in that home tonight. May the angel of God go now, Father, as we, the church of the living God, call for the head of our sister to be restored back to its rightful condition in the name of Jesus Christ. May that word, Lord God, destroy every germ in our body, Father. God, may it be like a guided missile searching out from head to toe. Hallelujah. Destroy it, Lord God. And then bring it back to a rightful condition. Father, I pray also for all that is standing here tonight, having a special need. Whatever the nature of that need might be tonight. Lord God, they stand here and they know that you, the all-sufficient God, is in our midst. They are believing, Father. You made a promise. Whatsoever they ask in the name of Jesus Christ, you will give it unto them. Father, here they are standing, asking, believing. Oh God, they have received what they asked for. For Lord God, they said, this is the confidence. Lord God, we ask according to your already expressed desire. We have the petitions. We desire of you. May they receive it tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, one common desire we all have tonight is to hear from you, Father. That you would speak to us, Lord. And Lord God, during the course of this service, the word of God creates a fit in our hearts. It will lift us up into a high ground. Oh God, Father, we feel the power of God moving in our hearts. Lord God, bring us to a place of kingdom life, where the kingdom of God has come from negative to positive, where the power of God is moving in the church to bring to pass every promise spoken for this day. Grant it, Lord. Even the strangers amongst us, visitors, different ones you have drawn by your presence, worked in simplicity, extended an invitation to some brother or some sister, some friend. But oh God, it is you nonetheless working to gather your people in your presence tonight, that you might speak to them, Lord. You might make known unto them that way of salvation. Make known unto them your perfect will. Heavenly Father, I pray in this service tonight, you would do just that, Father. Oh Lord God, they will not go home the same way they came in. But Lord God, they will go transform, change. Hallelujah. For Lord, like Moses, when he came to that light, that called him by his name, Moses, Moses, I'm come down. That seed in his heart came to life. Let it be so tonight, Father. All these that come desire to receive that, we ask it and receive it and give you thanks for it in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us turn to the Bibles. Like reading Isaiah 63, Revelation 14, and Joel chapter 3. Three places. Isaiah 63, Joel chapter 3, that's in the Old Testament, Revelation, the end of the New Testament, chapter 14. If you don't have a Bible, no doubt you'll be standing next to somebody to one, just share it with them. As we're looking upon the scriptures, really appreciate the fine spirit you feel in the building tonight. And in the songs, you know, when that first song was sung, it's just direct the message I'm coming to preach. It's just direct the song I had written down here to sing after the message, everything. Just the Holy Spirit is already gone ahead of us tonight. Amen. Verse 1. Who is this that cometh from Edom with thy garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. Are you speaking righteousness, mighty to save? Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him who treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the wine press alone. The question was asked, the answer has been given. And of the peoples, there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury. And their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeem is come. How many believe that? Amen. And I looked, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore my own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the peoples in my anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. Joel chapter 3. Reading from verse 9. Proclaim this among the nations. among the Gentile nations. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all you nations, and gather yourselves together round about. Yet cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the nation be wakened and come to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the nations round about. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get down, for the press, that your wine press, is full. The fats of the vats, that your wine vats, overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord shall also roar out of Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall you know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. Revelation chapter 14. Let's take on for verse 6. I want to catch that tonight if I could. You go through that many times, but I just want to just refer back it again to these three angel messages, last three angels. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Sing with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven, earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. A strong language. Worshipping the beast, his image, receiving his mark in your hand or in your forehead, whatever. God going to give you wine, but your wine of his wrath, and he's going to pour it out without mixture. You'll get the full strength. Not no watered down business. Yes. Amen. In the cup of his indignation. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever received the mark of his name. Why God hate that, we're going to find out. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, right, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. From henceforth, that is come now. From henceforth. Yes, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works to follow them. And I looked. Okay, this is where we strike it now. And behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud, one sat like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown. Amen? And in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple. There's a temple in heaven. Crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, trust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Exactly what Joel said, trust in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe.
And he that sat in the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar who had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth. Now watch the language. The language is figurative. For her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden. He's treading the winepress now. Without the city, outside the city, and blood, not juice, not grape juice, blood, came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles. Look at the height of blood. A horse bridle it was the only mount where the holy rings. You take that from the ground about that high. That a deep river of blood, thy feet high in blood. By the space of 1,600 furlongs, that's 1,600 furlongs, and 8 furlongs is 1 mile. That's 200 miles long. And the height of the horse bride from the ground in blood. 200 miles long. There's a lot of blood. Like a river of blood, flowing with blood. But you have millions down there also who are going to perish. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we have read your word. We've come back to continue by the leadership of your Holy Spirit, the unction that you have given unto us. As you have so graciously come down unto our undeserving people like us, and make known these great mysteries unto us, opening up the point of these last 7 vials. I pray, Lord, as we would endeavor to continue our study, our fellowship around this precious word, your presence be greatly felt tonight in our midst, and the Spirit will speak expressly, directly, personally, with such a clarity, Lord. Lord, the hearts of your people be enlightened and illuminated. Lord, they would have such a clear understanding of the hour and the time that we are living in, and the things that are taking place round about us, to recognize all the scriptures already in the process of fulfillment, moving with such rapidity, only the born again Christians can keep up with it. Heavenly Father, help us tonight, and bless your word to our hearts, we might be edified and strengthened and established in the present truth. For we ask it for your honor and for your glory, and for the edification of thy people, in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may have a seat. There was no other praise here but an art of coffee. We was in service for quite some time. By the time the Lord to the living from an attack of chicken pox, also drawn closer to him to the experience. Praise God, in this last season, a couple of the brothers pick up that disease of chicken pox, and God being so gracious that he touched them quickly, heal them and bring them back out in the house of God. And I had it myself some time back, you all know, and while in this body we have to face all kind of things, but thank God it's an atonement, and because that atonement is still in effect, we have healing active within us. But you're always going to come where there'll be no atonement, and where there's no atonement there'll be no divine healing, there'll be no salvation, there'll be no blessing. Amen. He that is filthy will be filthy still. He that is holy will be holy still. He that is righteous will be righteous still. As you read here, you think of it, one like the Son of Man coming in a cloud. Just to think of when Jesus is going up into heaven, he ascended up in that cloud and he was taken up, and he told them that many days from now shall he be filled with the Holy Ghost and with power, and then he shall be witnesses to me throughout all Jerusalem and Judea and to the uttermost parts of the earth. He had died a criminal death. He could have called legions of angels from heaven to be taken out of it. But he said, if it's possible, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, let me drink it. And he drank it. And he took all punishment upon himself. And he went up there to be a propitiation for our sins. To be an atonement for sinners down to seven church ages in the day of grace. But here he's coming back in a cloud. And we see when he's coming back, he's coming to tread the winepress. And to be trodden without the city. And the blood will be to the horse's bridle. And for 200 miles, 1600 furlongs. Long. And he have a sickle in his hand. Because the harvest is ripe. And the hour of his judgment is come. Amen. And he's going to pour the wine of the wrath of God. And he trample from the winepress. Into a cup. So they can drink that. Amen. Without mixture. His eye will spare no pity. Because the flames of fire. His feet tramping out the winepress would be brazen feet. Amen. Wouldn't be no nice nail scarred feet. Would be feet of brass tramping out the grapes of wrath. The vats will overflow because the wickedness is great. And the same way the Holy Spirit in His coming would speak with such compassion and love and say, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. By His stripes we are healed. And salvation was preached. How beautiful were the feet of them that come preaching the gospel of peace, bringing glad tidings all these years. And He told His disciples, they will spit upon you. They're going to kill you. They're going to do all kinds of things for my name's sake. They call the master of the house Beelzebub. How much more they'll call you? But be of good cheer. I send you as sheep among wolves. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Go and preach the gospel. Until that age is finished. And then when I come back, then it'll be another time. And this, when he's coming back, the same way he was so compassionate and so merciful, and he would speak, you know, in that attribute of a savior, and would desire to save, and would humble himself so low, and be humiliated to such an extent, because his purpose is to accomplish the salvation of his people. Yet the same person, we see the scripture is coming back. When he's coming back, he is speaking not in the attribute of a savior no more. Amen. But he's speaking in the attribute of a judge. To bring judgment. The hour of my judgment is come. The day of vengeance is here. Amen. And strong is the Lord that judges them. Amen. Amen. And he's saying, I'm going to pour my wine without mixture. And while he's saying that, he's even giving a physical description as to the condition and the type of blood will flow and all the effect of the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field and how destructive and awesome it would be. The very same God. Let us tonight, as we gather to fellowship around His Word, to study the Scriptures, to look in on these things that were spoken for this day that we're living in, and consider closely. Take it sincerely and watch it and check ourselves and see where we are standing. That's why we have these services. This is not like a revival meeting to win souls. This is to let the church know the hour. Amen. Like some man has called his family aside and talk to them. He might see something going on. And he'll talk to them. That's another, he might tell them, oh, you're going to a restaurant. Yeah, sometimes they may celebrate a party for one of the children. And I want to have an atmosphere that family can enjoy in a home. But then sometimes you have to correct something. The embarrassment and judgment will begin in the house of God. When that hour has come, the Holy Spirit, the same way He would call us to celebrate, and the same way He calls us to different things, He's called us here to check ourselves and see in the faith. Because the wrath of God is moving, and only the token will stay the wrath of God. When that judgment was coming, and them plagues was hitting all around Goshen, all around Egypt, in Goshen was the only place of safety. And because there's blood all over the place, all in the lintel, every house was blood, because a prophet that visited those people, a message that come forth, they was under the inspiration of preparation. They was making themselves ready. They was eating the lamb in haste. Queens were crying out among the people that rejected that prophet. Look back in the Bible, in the book of Exodus, which means they're going out. They're going out. They were there waiting for the trumpet to sound. That is the very hour that we are living in. And while we hear and we look into these things, we want to be certain of God. We don't want to think we are failed and we are not failed. We don't want to think we are saved and we are not saved. We want to have the assurance we are saved. We want to have the identification of a born again Christian. We want to have the life that is shaking the devil. Amen. Amen. We don't have some funny little ism or some funny spirit and call that the Holy Ghost. We want the God to make you bong and change the dust, said the Lord. Make you walk holy, holy, holy. Make you be in action and reverence and humility. Amen. To let you see, you're still under the effects of your vision when you saw the seraphim. You have seen the seraphim. You have been to the temple. You have broken into the vision. God shook you off a man. An experience of the heavenly order. You know what God wants represented on the earth. You know what your life must reflect. You break the song barrier. You don't care what the majority say. If they're contrary to the word, broad is the way of living instruction. Many go in gain. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way. Few be there and find it. Because few really pray and dig deep and search to find the straight and narrow way. And then pay the price to walk inside of it. Choose the harder way, which is my way. Because you make a momentous decision. A huge portion of heaven awaits you. And this in itself will make and bring to pass the tremendous victory in the love divine. Amen. And that is why, as we gather here, we want to be under the conviction of the word. In time past, we thought we were under the conviction of the word. Many people. And their behavior showed they were under the conviction of all kind of other things. And what convicted them? What influenced them? What controlled their life? They produced those things. They acquired those things. See? Who wanted success? They had a taste of success. They got success. Amen. Who wanted a taste of fashion? They got the fashion. Amen. Who wanted a taste of the flesh? They got the flesh. Amen. Who wanted a taste to feel important and have some great position to be recognized and looked upon? They got that. Amen. But who had a taste of the living God and want to be like Jesus Christ? They have that also. Amen. What you strive for. And you're only striving for what is influencing your life. Amen. What you see as important to you. Amen. If you see this important in people company, you'll strive to be in those people company. Amen. If you see it important, maybe to be thought of nice among certain people, you'll try to please those people so they can talk nicely of you. Amen. Amen. A lot of people have all kind of convictions. But let us get on the conviction of the word of the living God. Amen. And you're going to find out your friends are going to become few.
Hallelujah. You're going to find it become hated and despised and evil spoken of. But you're going to find that God will approve you. Mighty. Walk close with you. Keep in His presence. Signs of alive in you. Mighty the conqueror. Nothing shall stand before you all the days of your life. Hallelujah.
When the true believer sees those things, they get on the conviction of the word and they walk with the word. They take the sides with Jesus. Amen. See? And sometimes a person always comes to that test. Would you get clannish with your friends? Would you try to serve God and mammon? Would you find yourself halting between two opinions? You see? Would you try to please flesh and please God? Amen. And sometimes you're so influenced by your own reason and your own imaginations of what you would like. And not let yourself fit into the Word of God. Amen. But rather try to bring the Word to fit what you like. Then you're going to find yourself maybe trying to make it work. Amen. Thinking it can work. And spend many long years realizing it cannot work. One must die for one to live. Amen. And those lessons, people take long to learn them. Because of the influence and the reasoning and the human feelings. Not God's feelings, the human feelings. I don't say God do have human feelings. God has feelings for humans, but you have human feelings. Human feelings, think humanly, act humanly, walk after the course of this world. But anybody come out to please God, they may have to pay great prices. See, because the real proof that you really desire to walk with Him and see Him first and above every other thing is when the thing's dearest to you, you can sacrifice it. Yeah. And sometimes you may be so, and God may know you're so, and yet still bring the test. Because God wants to speak the world again. Amen. See? For a witness, but He wants to use your life to do it. Amen. God knew what Abraham was going to do, and God knew what He was going to do. But it's written in the Bible that up to the day we could read it, because it speaks to us. If God had said about Abraham, people could have doubted that he's really so. Amen. If Abraham said he was so, people might think he's thinking more highly of himself than they think of himself. You know what we're saying? Yeah. So we want to be under conviction of the word. Yeah. And that's why we come here, and sometimes the word may have to come hard and cut and maybe tear out certain things that might be precious to you in your own eyes, and you may not see that way, and then the devil may try to make you take it out personal, in the sense of not that God is speaking to you individually, but in the sense like maybe somebody knows something about you and trying to say that, or somebody trying to influence you to their thinking this type of way, and then you find you begin to resist and become rebellious and different things. But you in your own self, in your honesty and sincerity, as you look into the mirror of the Word of God as it speaks to you, then you make yourself ready. Then you judge yourselves that you should not be judged. Because we are judged of the Lord, we are chastened. Is that correct, as the Bible says? Amen. So then here we are in a time, and since it's checking up time, since because we want to make sure, like tonight, a family going on a trip, and maybe the place that they're going to the trip, they have to take certain things with them, unless they're going to maybe camp out somewhere, and they have to have certain things with them, they'll be checking. Alright, you suppose how so? You have the cooler, you have the ice bucket here, you have the ice pick, you have the sanitary cups, you have the plates, you have the different, you have to make sure you have everything. You have the keys for the place, you leave the mail for the mailman, whatever it is, you're making sure you check everything, because you don't just want to leave like that and then drive 400 miles going in one direction, realize you didn't do it, you have to drive back, try to get somebody to do you a favor somewhere along the road, because you didn't
know what where he was going and what it really undertook to really be ready. So that's why this type of a meeting we have in here, we have had our nice times, so we sit down, we had a good time, and we jump and we blow the roof off. But this is a place where the earth is moving from under us now. Amen. Amen. And this is where we come down to see if our thinking is filtered. See if we are covered with the holy veil. See if we are veiled from the evils of this evil age. I have to pick back up that in this week. I just tried to break it Sunday, but the Lord been dealing with me on that. So I want to finish Revelation 14, 15, and 16. Therefore, 16 is not so much important in this sense, because it's just a description under each vial what is happening. But the revelation was to see where those things place, how it come to pass, who are the ones that bring those judgments, what time it takes place. And we went and we've been proving that back and forth in the first phase of these meetings that we've been preaching, the point out of these last seven vials. And we've been kind of teaching those things, and I trust that you have been catching the inspiration, because it's about the eighth message that I'm preaching since the start of it. I started off with the coming judgment of Jezebel and Ahab, and then preached that twice, two of those. And then we came and I'm going to preach the great supper, the supper of the great God in the evening time. And God give an invitation to his supper first, and people reject his supper, and then he's going to make them a supper for something else. And then we catch something right in there, was what is happening in the spiritual realm. And I'm trying to tell you, don't look at these things as something going on down the road, because this is the last generation.
Amen.
So the people down the road is the same people here today.
Amen.
In other words, the people who are going to be in the millennium is the people here.
Amen.
The people who are going to be fed to the fowls is the people who is here right now.
Amen.
People who go through the tribulation, the people who are going to miss the rapture, they're right here now.
Amen.
There's nothing down the road. All the people who is to fulfill all those things are already here.
Yes.
Is whether one going up and coming back, is whether one going through.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Is finding your place now and see where you are.
Yes.
Because as you're thinking that message also, the road that leads to Armageddon, brought you a little destruction, many of them going there. At a certain point in time, when they come to the destination on that road, when they finally enter into the place called Armageddon,
Amen.
Megiddo, really where the battle of Armageddon has been fought, and where that takes place. But right now, if they will be there, they're on that road now.
Amen.
Because they're all following that pale horse rider whose name is Death.
Amen.
Because he's leading the whole world down.
Amen.
Because right now they are deceived and they have the mark of the beast right now.
Amen.
This is how it's so sure. Because the Jubilee sung it, brother.
Amen.
And when the Jubilee sung it, either you came out or you stayed in.
Amen.
And 1963, at the end of the seventh age, in the 50th year, at the end of the seventh Sabbath of years,
amen,
amen, there was a great jubilee sounded.
Amen.
Amen. A proclamation of the emancipation. At the rising of the sun, the slaves saw the sunlight.
Amen.
They was on the seventh peak watching for the sun to come up.
Amen.
Amen. It was sung throughout the earth. And they begin to claim their freedom.
Oh, yeah.
But there's many like Johnny Crow who said, I cannot go, I'm still bound.
Yes.
There's many who love the slave master.
Yes.
And didn't want to go on either.
Yes.
So the air will bore. They might all be lined up, and the man who bore in airs might be born one by one, and they ain't reach up there yet. But they're in the line to be bored.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Understand the scripture. Those fowls of the air, when we was catching that deer, that was demon powers feeding upon people now. And later, literally, the bodies will be fed. But right now, the souls is being fed to the fowls, and then the body will be fed to the fowls. Hell is here on the earth.
Yeah.
You know how to go to hell, to know what hell is like?
Yeah.
Amen. Hell is on the earth. Demon powers have been loosed. And they have surfaced. And hell have opened mouth and taken the whole earth. That's why I see naked people walking the street. Crazy and don't know it. That's why I see the churches, see, flirting with all kinds of different things. Prostitutes, the Bible called them. Rome is a mother and a daughter's harlots. And the Bible said God will stone them as you kill adulterers back there and kill them. And the Bible said he will leave them to be fed to the fowls, and he will do it. God don't lie. God said he's going to die and save you. He did. He said he's going to come back and judge the earth. And he has. You say he has? Yes. The investigative judgment is finished. Judgment is breaking forth. We are on our way out already. While we're talking here, we're moving. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Moving up in faith. The life on the inside is being changed. Amen. To do what? To ultimately bring on a change on the outside. Amen. And if it wasn't the presence of God, it couldn't change. But that's why you're here. It's going to change more tonight. Amen. Because you're walking to the resurrection. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe you don't think about it often. Maybe they don't see it the way you ought to see it. Hallelujah. But that's why God has gathered us like this. So he can put more and more inside of us. He can rip away the old lost veils. He can bring us to realization of what is really happening. That's why God doing all these things. This is the final call. This is the final quickening unto the rapture. This is the age of apostasy. This is the age of the finished work. This is the age of the finished cycle. It all comes to an end in Laodicea. It blacks out and goes into hell. Demons become incarnate in the people. They pick up the spirit and they don't even know it because they Satan has deceived them and make them think it's a fashion to pick it up and it's a devil to pick it up. You get that? It's not a fashion. It's a demon. They think the dance is a new dance. It's a demon. That's a new phase of demon possession. They have rejected the message. They have been trained to pleasure voices. They love pleasure more than God. Many trained to a political voice. But my sheep will hear my voice. And his voice is a thunder. Hallelujah. And seven thunders will utter their voices when the lion roars. Who can but fear? When the Lord God prophesies. Amen. In this last day, come out the holy people. Hallelujah. Enticing spirits want to entice Nelly Sanders again. To stop and take a dance. Don't you do it, Nelly? No, sir. Get to the conviction. Hallelujah. Be a daughter of God. Be a Easter flower. In the midst when there's death all around, you're hiding under the rock. Hallelujah. You're under the rock. Shelter from all the poison gas. All his prayers, and the devil is praying to people and rotting the seeds in this evil age. If you're in the presence of the Son being transformed, what in the presence of? poison us, it doesn't rot in them. They're under our voice and you're under our voice. Your voice is the race of the sun to write me and back what you have into reality. Make you mature Christians, not church members, bench warmers. That's a dime a dozen. Walk with the Bible in the world. Amen. But God's sons and daughters, the diamonds, He have dug it and cut with a sharp tool to reflect His rainbow. Little voices, thundering in sweetness, holiness, purity, undefiled eyes, walking around Trinidad. Hallelujah. Pyramids in Egypt, standing there, ready for the great headstone to cap off the pyramid of your life. Hallelujah. A sign that the resurrection is at hand. Hallelujah. And the world knoweth it not. Like in Jerusalem, after the resurrection had taken on Easter morning, many that slept came out. I was walking along all along the place, and the people didn't know it. Well, the same way, demon powers have come out also from 200 million from the Euphrates River, Mystery Babylon. Hallelujah! And many cannot see it because they're looking for somebody that's sharper than a rosary. But Babylon is idolatry. Food sacrifice unto idols. The depths of Satan. Amen. Nimrod. All these people that build the great kingdoms. They are the same spirits of Babylon. Supernatural devils. Then we're going to take a supernatural gospel to face the challenge. We're going to take a people that are a super race. Hallelujah! With a super anointing, because a super age we live in. There are supermarkets and super highways, and all the cars are super cars, and a bunch of super dupers. But there's a real super church, anointed, called out, Holy Ghost filled, walking onward Christian soldiers. A real army of the living God. Amen. Trained, dressed, ready. And they know the great battle is between D-Day and V-Day. Hallelujah. In D-Day is when the operation brother went into effect. Amen. The allied nations came together to get rid of that old Satan with a small mustache. People from the new world is going back to save the old world. Is that correct? Yeah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. But D-Day didn't come until they was coming back home. Many battle scarred veterans. Hallelujah. As they were sailing coming in, they had a great Statue of Liberty standing there. They had fought for freedom. Amen. Right, everybody, all the armors were polished up. Here come a battle scarred veteran. Hand in a sling, missing one leg. Because, brother, he says, better to go in heaven with one than to go in hell with two. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. One coming, one eye. Hallelujah. Anyone a worldly eye? You pluck it out. Yeah. Hallelujah. You have some pastor watching the world, watching the sisters. Pluck that eye out and throw it away. Get the real unseen eye of Jesus Christ. Right to and fro in the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. I went to Caesar, the great general, great captain, look around. He said, where did they get them scars, soldier? But that was no sardine pan cut him in the cafeteria. Hallelujah. He fought in the battlefront. He said, out in the battlefront, my captain. He said, you come beside me. That's the kind of man I want to ride with me. This great victory there. Hallelujah. They said, those men cry like babies. When they came up and they put them on the deck of the great big ocean liner coming back in. Great big battleships. And they're coming in the great formation. And they're coming in the air. into the harbor, and they saw the great statue of freedom, liberty, amen. Hallelujah. They went there to give their lives. But what would it be that on that day? Amen. When the saints from all ages coming in. Amen. All them seven stars who was in his right hand standing here with the overcomers in the age. And the great five-star general Jesus Christ himself on his white charger. His vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. No wonder he had royal diadems. He was King of Kings. He was Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Amen. It was coming in the air. It was a time of victory. But before that, the victory, they had a fight. They know they might lose a hand. Lord, you see a tired servant and them broken wounded soldiers. Oh, hold! When we face the final battle cry, touch them once again tonight. Hallelujah. When they want deliverance, let the power of the cross, holy, the only source for us, bring you to Calvary again. When the love of God can be fresh in your heart. Amen. Make it a conviction. He paid the price. He died. He wasn't half dead. He died. That's why you can have a resurrection. That's why many can raise up in heavenly places. They're only floating around because they're dead. You have the dead to be raised up. Hallelujah. Far above. Not the way it can have an effect upon you. Far above all principality and power. Hallelujah. Spiritual astronauts. Not the no aeroplane flying around. Break the sound barrier. Going down to space where all things are possible. Amen. That's all we come down to. Real church. Real born again, blood washed soldiers. Train. Hallelujah. Put on the whole armor of God and anoint you to fight to the death. Gladiators of God. Hallelujah. In the great contest, in the hour when the challenge is rough and demon powers in every hand. But the devil can't pull them in no fires because they're playing around with the devil. They're trained for the knockout punch. Hallelujah. Trained for the knockout punch. No hansy pansy, lovey dovey, tweety doody, that is nonsense. Shun the appearance of all evil. Amen. You are son of God. You met the pillar of fire. Then you'll walk like you meet the pillar of fire. You don't meet the pillar of fire down in Sodom. You'll meet on the backside of the desert. Hallelujah. Glory to God, amen. God will pull you away from all them glamour. Oh, all the nice niceties in the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God, amen. This is the time we come to. That's why I want people to be under godly conviction. Amen. People who are anointed and understand the hour. Amen. People who are serious and they mean God. People who hate the devil with perfect hatred. Because they study his strategy. They see how wicked and deceitful he is. Amen. But he can't take the veil off? No, sir. They watch him how he took Eve's veil off. But he say, they ain't going to take her. If she have to overcome and make sure what happened to Eve and the Ephesians happened to her, then she have to watch where the two of them fail. She have to watch the strategy Satan used on them the air. Is that correct? Because the devil don't change the strategy, no sir. Amen. So when we look and we see what's happening, then you see people who study him. Because if you don't study his, he's studying yours. If you don't mean war, he mean war. You can declare war and then it's peace you mean. From the time I declare war, he's gonna drop his bombs on you. You better run for your life. I have no bomb, other bomb shelter than the Rock of Ages. So left for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, too much people they just want just so far religion. Amen. Just to pacify them a little bit. Just to make them acceptable in a religious circle. Just to create a little better impression with a little more godly knowledge. But there are people who would like to raise up in this hour to fulfill the scripture. Hallelujah, call of God, chosen and faithful. The ones who was riding at his side was called. I call my sheep by their name, and they name me Baptist, they name me Methodist. How do you call God? By preaching the mystery. Hallelujah. They work for the hour and they recognize they are part of that word, because they don't just born to swing a Bible and to warm a bench. Hallelujah. But the name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Not the mysterious book of heaven, this very book. Right inside of here. When John came on the earth, he found his name inside here. He said, I am the voice of one. When Jesus came, the priest handed the book, he turned the page, he found himself. He said, the spirit of the Lord is upon me. When Malachi 4 came, he found himself inside of here. Here is the bride standing here. She knows she's the principal team of the entire king. Hallelujah. I call my sheep by the name. I chose them. Not, I don't understand. I watched them. I chose them for the foundation of the world. In Christ. Chosen in Christ. Like Eve was in Adam all the time. She was there all the time. Just waiting patiently for her appointed seed to come, that she might be made manifest to reveal the glory of God for that age. Amen. And faithful. God has tried them. They call them the chosen. But they are tested. And they are tried. And the garment is not spotted by the flesh. They have the eyes anointed, the eyes out to recognize the devil of every one of the streets. Hallelujah. Amen. And that white raiment and that gold tried in the fire. Amen. Not no iron pipe, no shiny Sunday morning Christian with all your frills and all your bows and all your nonsense. No. Dedicated life, prisoner to the world. Surrender life on the altar of God. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the people God is talking about. Real people God is talking about. Called and chosen and faithful, they who are with him. Amen. And make sure you are called. Make your calling and your election sure. Make sure your children got many a call, but few are chosen. Make sure you're faithful. Many can be faithful, but yet enjoy it unto the end. Hallelujah! Take the harder way, which is my way. Amen. Faithful and true to this word. Amen. You guys are what they're separate from. For the sake of the word, you will do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God in the highest. If I go to preaching, we get to teaching and we get to study here, but it just feels so good tonight. Amen. Amen. Because you are creators. We come here to create that atmosphere for the spiritual astronauts, the eagles of the air to soar and hunt the fresh kill. Amen. Moving on to the valleys and the mountains, looking for the fat sheep, the lamb, the word. Amen. Dripping with blood. Not no dry, old, dead, rotten. That's a vulture, not an eagle. Hallelujah! But the eagles, the one. Amen. With their microscopic eyes and telescopic eyes. Amen. With that prophetic insight, you watch them eagles, they will find that fresh kill. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, quickly, let me just cut off all the preliminaries. I don't have any preliminaries, but I'm just going to leave it, because I think many times I waste one service just trying to refresh your memory. And if I think by now you should be doing your homework, so you won't need your memory refreshed to that extent. Amen.
Okay, now, I want to notice here quickly in the scriptures, I've been reading here the terminology, because the terminology in the scripture, especially Revelation 14 and parts of Isaiah 63 and then Joel shortly read, notice the terminology that is describing the time of the battle of Armageddon. Because I want to notice, we come through the seven church ages, we saw what revealed, we come through the seven seals. For the book of Revelation, which we are studying, which is sealed to the nominations,
amen.
Open up to the bride.
Amen.
Amen. And it is the revelation of Jesus Christ and his future oaks. Amen. And in everything laying there in symbol, because it is prophecy. It's a prophetic book for this hour.
Amen.
The believers in this age are the eagles with the eagle anointing.
Amen.
A prophetic class of people that God have ordained in this age to soar up into those realms. Amen. When the apostolic doctrine is delivered back, when the faith has been restored back by Elijah prophet of Malachi 4:5 in the evening time. Jesus said, I know John came, that was Elijah. Malachi 3, yes, but Malachi 4, Elijah truly shall come and restore all things.
Amen.
When that Elijah come, watch him. He's going to come and he's going to reveal all the mysteries as God had declared to his servant the prophets. All them prophets that wrote the Bible, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all them, Daniel, wrote many prophetic things, and God said, seal up the book, Daniel, until the time of the end.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'll send an eagle in the end time.
Amen.
I'll have along their reformers. They're going to build along denominations, along their Bible school students and priests. They're going to be hatched out in the incubator and come out with the chicken licking and the turkey lurking and the goosey loosey. But in the last days, there'll be a real eagle anointing strike the earth. Amen. A real prophet going to come and thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah! He will not belong to no denomination because they are cursed. They are not of God. But he comes stomping in with the pillar of fire like Moses came. Like Elijah came. Like Jeremiah came. They didn't belong to no systems. Hallelujah! They were raised up by God and anointed and sent with the world. God made them flames of fire. Amen! To deliver thus saith the Lord to the generation. And when that Elijah comes, he's going to come and shake, because he's going to have the anointing like Elijah back in the Bible. Amen. He's going to shake them systems. He's going to crack against Jezebel. He'll rebuke Ahab. There'll be famine in the land. But Elijah will know where the hidden food comes from. Hallelujah. He will know where the hiding place is. Like Moses knew where the hiding place was. Amen. The secret for the plagues not to touch Israel. Moses had the revelation. It was laying the lamb.
Amen.
Hallelujah! And Moses knew that through the shed blood of the lamb. Amen. God's covenant back in Genesis. God's revelation. Amen. To bring the veil back among the people. To veil them from spiritual death in the last days. He's going to reveal them what the blood is. The only thing the Holy Spirit come to is the word.
Amen.
The lamb. Because the word is the lamb. And the life of the Lamb, this, my word is life and my word is spirit.
Amen.
And the word is spirit. God, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was God. And God is a spirit, so the word is spirit.
Amen.
The word and the spirit is the self same thing.
Amen.
That all this nonsense people are going to live and fall in the spirit. Amen. You can trip and fall down.
Amen.
A demon can throw you down.
Amen.
That's nonsense.
Amen.
But a demon cannot become the word.
Amen.
Because the demon was going to talk. Zoe, a gene of God in God's loins, was God's sons. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God's daughters in his mind, in the great book of redemption, in the back part of his mind. And God spoke them out down through the ages. And the last day the message have come. The very same voice that spoke them speak the mysteries now to call the very names that he spoke.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And they all wake up like the eagle in the barnyard.
Yeah.
And they know we don't belong to no system.
Yeah.
Hey, they hear it. Behold, the bridegroom cometh.
Yeah.
Not the bishop cometh.
No.
Not some pastor cometh.
No.
Not some superintendent cometh.
No.
The bridegroom cometh.
Yeah.
Isaac is on the scene.
Yeah.
Then there must be Eliezer somewhere saying that.
Yeah.
Is Eliezer saying that?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Is the evening time is right. She traveled a long journey. She walked to the camel. She came through a dangerous way, a hard, rugged journey. She came with no better ease in Zion. No flowery better ease. While others fought to win the prize and sail to bloody seas. No, sir. Amen. She come the hard way. And every time she see the bridegroom, she veils herself. Hallelujah. Glory be to God in the highest. From the time a bridegroom she veil and her prophetic eyes looks and sees that. But then the voice of the prophet, the messenger who was sent to pull out, identifies who that was. Except when she veils herself. Amen. Chaste. Undefiled. Right with them, the revelation of a sacred trust hit her soul like a thunder. Sacred womanhood. Sacred motherhood. How to conduct herself a wrong man. Amen. She walk out graceful, marching on with Christian soldiers to go and meet Isaac. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
my, what an hour it is. So notice, when God sent that prophet in the last days to open the book of Revelation, as he promised, you do Revelation 10, 7 also. As he declared to his seventh prophet, he will send that seventh angel messenger to declare these things. A voice would speak and the mystery of the Bible would come plain. But the world, having ears, would not hear. Having eyes, would not see. Neither could be converted. Because just like the Jews have been blinded for the message of the Gentiles, it's time now for the Gentiles to be blinded for to go back to the Jews. Israel is in the homeland, the fig tree is blooming. Amen. Hallelujah. While the bride is getting ready to be taken out, before Joseph could go and make himself known to his brothers. Amen. While getting ready to dismiss into the palace. Amen. What is happening? Before Israel can come to the feast of the atonement and mourn. Amen. They already heard the song of the seven trumpets. Blasting persecution. Rush them from all nations back to Palestine. But now they're waiting to hear the trumpet of the atonement song. Hallelujah. For 3.5 years through 2 prophets. Jewish prophets. Preaching and making known to them who Messiah really is. Hallelujah. Amen. To take the veil of tradition, Old Testament tradition, off of the eyes. Amen. For them to see the antitype of the type. For them to see, amen, the reality of the shadow. To see who Messiah really is. And that will what happened to the bride, and she's come on, gathered and taken up in the mystery. And here, as we've been taken up, the door is fixing to close. And when that door is closed, no more will be saved. People will go on living and be destroyed until the millennium comes. Tribulation, torment, insanity,
amen.
Destruction, plagues, everything.
Amen.
Until the millennium comes. But nobody will be saved.
Amen.
This is that hour.
Amen.
And the final call is going on. The final voice of the final age.
Amen.
Speaking.
Amen.
And the people, quickly, the Holy Spirit and sovereign grace, in this late hour, remember some of you. You might have been some denominational dream. Your mind all full up with denominational smoke. Amen. But God tonight with a strong breath. Amen. It's blowing that away. Amen. You can have the mind of Christ in this age. Let this mind that was in Christ. What mind was in Christ? He knew the threefold mystery. He knew the second Adam being veiled again. He knew the Adam who was cast out of the Garden of Eden had been restored back and was being veiled again. And he was that Adam.
Amen.
Amen. That was the mind that was in Christ. And if that mind that was in Christ is in the bride, she will know she's the second Eve. Veiled again!
Amen.
Going back to Eden.
Amen.
They'll be feeling the cry in the heart as it's getting late in the evening time. The travail in the soul to go back to Eden.
Amen.
Because they see Satan moving in to become the god of this world.
Amen.
Enthroned. The beast. The antichrist spirit. Amen. Have become the false prophet. The false prophet of succession of popes. Is now going to be enthroned as the beast.
Amen.
Amen. Church and state coming together. Amen. Through this move of the religious ecumenical move here. All bring the denominations together. Amen. To bring children to state and then take all the kings into the Armageddon and they see it and they recognize what is coming.
Amen.
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 And because they recognize what is coming, they know they cannot be caught here.
Amen.
Amen. There is somewhere wrong. There must be a cry. Somebody don't give up your message. Somebody, there must be a revelation, a rapture sounding forth. Somebody, there must be something going on. There must be a strange people somewhere. With their feet shut and the staff in their hand, eating the bread in haste. When death is striking everywhere and God's darkness upon the people. Somewhere, there must be a people, amen. With the token, when I see the blood, the life of the Lamb, I'll pass away. There must be one like Rahab, with his scarlet thread hanging in the door. Don't let that smoke blind you tonight. Don't let some denominational fiction or some mad conception, some private interpretation, some theology blind tonight. Recognize that people here. Recognize that message is here. Recognize that very God is here. The God of this Bible is here tonight. Look, Sunday morning, Brother Robbie and Brother Nevis are right in the corner, and the Holy Spirit moving in service, and the little boy telling his father, Daddy, look fire up here. He says, Son, ready fire? He says, no fire. He said, that'll be fire going like that. And he said, wait a moment, it'll be fire there going, and he shouldn't hold the fire is going. That same fire is here. Little ones can see it. They have no malice in their heart. And the eyes see through the heart. Hallelujah. Many people have a lot of knowledge in their mind. Amen. But no love in the heart. And the eyes don't see through the mind, the eyes see through the heart. So their own knowledge become a veil to veil them from the presence of God. But the pillar of fire is going to tear that veil down. If you want to surrender tonight, he will tear it down. You can break into the presence of the mighty conqueror. And he don't have to fuss, he will just bust them chains off your hand. Amen. Open the prison door and let you walk out free. Amen. If you want that tonight. Hallelujah. Glory be to God, but you better mean God is not dealing with hypocrites now. God is not dealing with some little denominational feeling or something you're just feeling now. God wants to bring you to the altar and kill you dead. Hallelujah. Make all things pass away and all things become new. Let your walk home. God wants to see the seraphim tonight. Standing there. Amen. Flying. Holy, 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 holy. In action. With reverence and humility. Humble yourself to the world. Amen. That's what God wants. Amen. And if you just come for a service, then you miss the boat altogether. But if you come to meet with God, surely the presence of the Lord in this place. This is none other than the house of God, your dreadful place. Amen. 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 Dreadful place. So here, that book of Revelation is opened by that Elijah prophet, and all those seven mysteries, the seven church ages, the baffled people have been revealed. Seven seals have been opened and be revealed, and every mystery was under that seventh seal. Because in that seventh seal, the seven trumpets, seven vials, seven thunders is in that seventh seal. Amen. Because that seventh seal is the last seal in the book. Amen. Amen. And those seven seals had sealed the whole book. Amen. Amen. And everything ends under the seventh seal. Amen. Time ends. Struggling nature. Amen. The end of the ocean, the millennium, the violence, the trumpets, and everything ends under that seventh seal. Amen. And the seventh angel was the messenger of the seventh seal. Amen. He was the messenger saying the end of all things is come. Amen. Hallelujah! And he showed us Satan Eden has come to its end. Because why? We saw one like Adam again. Let there be a scurrying. Little fishy Jesus Christ, give you back your life. Storm, go back where you come from. We saw dominion. We saw what the king's sword is. Hallelujah! We saw the word of God have preeminences on the Son of God, justified under the blood, cross back the chasm in the image of Almighty God. Amen! So we know when you see Adam, then here's a revelation of Eve. Hallelujah! The restoration, the bright tree. Same branch, same bark, same leaf, same life coming forth. Principal team, perfect matching piece to prove. And then the seventh day is already breaking, and I feel the dawning of a new day. All over me, Lord! Hallelujah! What is making the world come again? Is the light coming in? As I feel the rush of blood in this mortal body, and the Holy Ghost coming in behind to say good morning.
to those who have asked to hear and know what good morning means. Who have seen the ministry of the morning star. I will give you a bright and morning star. When the day star begins to rise in your heart. When you come to Peniel and you begin to see face to face. When the day was breaking and Jacob was becoming Israel. Because he met an angel that come down there. And he crossed over at the rising of the sun. Amen! Hallelujah! That is language of believers. I see some minds that try to follow that and they just change their minds. I'll wait until they come back here. Okay. You read the Bible and you see, the word says, and become part of the message. Don't sympathize with it, become part of it. And you can only become part when you receive it. Receive it, and they're just talking about it, saying they believe it. Receive it is it down in your heart and you're acting upon it. It's influencing you every, your thinking, your walk, your decisions, your behavior, everything. Because it's not just a message of denomination or doctrine straightened out. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ, of what you was before the fall, to bring you back there. That is what it's all about. Hallelujah! That is what it's all about. Amen. And breaking forth upon your soul. So notice. So when the Holy Spirit come and begin to open those seven trumpets after the seven seals, right here amongst us, the Spirit being so gracious, not preaching the seven trumpets, but the mysteries contained in the seven trumpets. Amen. Just like how revelations contained in the seven seals, there's revelations contained in the seven trumpets. Amen. Yeah. Amen. And then it comes out of the trumpets, come the vials. It has to come out of the trumpets. You can preach the vials and then didn't see the trumpets. But out of the trumpets come the vials. And you couldn't go into the trumpets if you didn't see the seals. And you couldn't see the seals if you didn't see the church ages. And then by that time when you hit the vials and the whole of the book open wide before your wondering eyes, by that time you'll be edified and purified by its Spirit. Ready for its glorious appearing. So that's why I have to preach this way, because there's a people at the end of the book now. Edified. Not confused. All the thinking have been filtered. The mind is clear. It's not muddled up with denominational fiction and man's ideas. They know in whom they believe and they are persuaded. He's able to keep that which is coming unto him. They know what part of the scripture they're fulfilling. They live under the inspiration of that. It's not just going to church and trying to keep up with the religious world. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So God have been, didn't have somebody strange and see that I experienced some of these things. So you understand what is really good and why what we preach and why we come back here for these services. Because it's only we couldn't take all right through about 20 something messages to fully bring out what we want to bring out, but they're about the eighth one being preached already under this inspiration here. Because what I'm going to do here tonight, I just try to finish up straighten out some scriptures here, you see. And the placing of where these things happen, how it happens, who it happens to, how these things will be clear in the mind. But we don't want to stop, we want to swing over to the place where we can see the insanity of the age and why they'll be judged and how the demon powers have taken them over and how they have been deformed while you have been transformed. Amen. And how they're in hell right here in the earth while you are in heaven right here. Amen. Amen. Right now.
Amen.
God is with you right now. Your king is in your midst. Light is in the city. Hallelujah. You have on your white robe. Your soul is clothed. Hallelujah. With a supernatural gospel. Amen. You've been washed in the blood of the seven seals. Hallelujah. You have a holy man taste. Because you know what your promise is. And you know you're in the hour of the fulfillment of your promise. And you're thirsting to see the living God bring the pass in your life. You're looking for denominational ambition and success out in the world? No!
True, brother.
You're looking for a better education? Looking for a closer walk with God? Yeah. Hallelujah! Yeah. just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. You want overcoming power like Abraham to shoot them buzzards of his sacrifice to keep the devils away. Amen. Because the Philistines are upon thee. Amen. My. So much can be said on those things. But that we want to hit that place, only hit there. Then you're going to understand how the people. We just are dealing with the judgments here. See, the judgments. But when we get to the place where why the people will be judged, how the devil become incarnate in them, how they reject the word, how they yield to a contrary spirit, how their thinking wasn't filtered. Because it's denomination that get the people ready and mature them to bring the judgment on. The cup of the wrath of God is filled and running over now. You can bring judgment because it's filled with denominational filth, which is constantly exalting itself above the knowledge of the word. And was worship as God. And the people ignorantly worship Satan. Because they had creeds and dogmas that they replaced the word with. And they thought the denomination was the gate to heaven. And they thought that being in the name of Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostal or Jehovah's Witness or Seventh-day Adventist or something like that, they thought that I was safer with God. But that didn't mean nothing in the sight of God, as if it's a pig or a dog or a hog. That didn't mean nothing at all. Because your family in heaven and earth is named Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! I have nothing promised to the 7 days in the Bible. I have nothing promised to the Methodists in the Bible. I have nothing promised to the Pentecostals in the Bible. It's promised to sons and daughters of God whose names is in the Lamb's book of life. And this is all when the book is open and the name's been revealed and you looking in there and seeing your name inside of there. And the fear is gone. So even though the storm is coming and the judgment's coming, amen. But you're sheltered in the arms of love. So let the storm close right. You singing, let the death angel pass. God bright, save at last. And the token he gave that we could be saved. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. You're sheltered away. Like Elijah, he had to go into the secret place and get hidden food before the judgment strike. Noah had to go into the secret place before the judgment struck. Moses went into the secret place in Goshen under the blood before the judgment struck. And today, there's a secret place you have to enter into also. That was only a type speaking about the hiding place. Hallelujah. Oh my, entrance is being ministered abundantly into that place. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. So you see, amen. So here when we come to this place here, we're going to pick up those things. But tonight I want to straighten out Revelation 14, 15, and we're going to get the next couple of days, and then I will pick back up veil, that message on the veil, Laodicea, the insane age, God in this evil age, and then you'll see where those things fit in. You see, the God of this evil age is Laodicea. This is the evil day that the Bible is talking about. When Satan, the God of this world, will be enthroned. And everything that is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be what? Deceived. And then, when they reject the blood, they make a way for the devil to become incarnate in them.
Amen.
So the devil's coming to them, and they think what they're doing is fashionable. They think what they're doing it fits them and places them into Satan's Eden.
Amen.
Just as the Holy Spirit comes in and places you into God's Eden, into the body of Christ, where you'll be in that Eden.
Amen.
See? So they come and they pick up these spirits and it looks fashionable because in their eyes, in their Eden, in their world, those are, I think, complementary things. Somebody with a good education in the world, that is looked up to. Somebody with a lot of money in the world, that is look up to. Somebody in an important position in the world as regards the worldly affairs, that is look up to. But in God's kingdom, either you have the Holy Ghost or nothing. Either you're born again or nothing. Either you have God life in you or nothing. God is saying, when I see a PhD, I'll pass over you. When I see $10,000 in a bank account, I'll pass over you. No!
Amen. That don't make you important in God's sight, no sir. You could be drinking branch water tonight and eating soda crackers, amen. You could be wearing a tuxedo or a coverall. You better have the Holy Spirit. Veil in the holy veil.
9 o'clock. Okay, I'll give you the message. If you can get in half an hour, that's good. Finish 9:30. Amen. Take the night preaching already, see? Okay, let's try the scripture quick. Revelation 14. Okay, watch. The terminology there, if we don't catch the terminology of what God is talking about and have a picture in our minds where he's talking, we're going to miss the whole thing. Because God is talking a certain language here in the book of Revelation, because it is already prophesied and illustrated in Joel. Now, this is Armageddon, because from verse chapter 14, verse 14 to Revelation 19, verse 21, is speaking about a period of time after the days of Moses and Elijah and before the millennium. Going to chapter 14, Moses and Elijah ascended into heaven in Revelation 11. Is that correct?
Amen.
Okay, stand with me now. Let me hear you. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, let me know you're here and you're following your Bible and you're under the inspiration. What's going on? Alright. So Moses and Elijah, after the preaching out here, they'll take them into heaven. Now, Christ is coming now. Joseph is coming back. We're into the great trumpet now. Not the piece of the trumpet, the great trumpet.
Amen.
Joseph coming back.
Yeah.
Amen. Where the desert is going to bloom and all these things.
Yeah.
Where they'll bow the knee and the tongue will confess. Because why? It's time for the millennium.
Yeah.
Amen. But all the nations is gathered around Jerusalem. So that rock cut out of hands. You follow the type here now?
Yeah.
We're changing type now. From Joseph coming back and the blow the trumpet and bow the knee. We're coming back in the same season of the Daniel, what he saw.
Yeah.
The rock. Colored out hand coming to smite the image in the 10 toes. You got those 10 toes, 5 eastern nations, 5 western nations, 2 superpowers, the 2 big toes. Alright, Russia and America, 2 superpowers. Then Eisenhower and Khrushchev, way back there. Eisenhower, when they came 1960 somebody had the United Nations meeting, Khrushchev so rejected what all the proposals, he took a shoe off and beat the desk with it. And the Holy Spirit struck the prophet of the revelation. He said, look, that's a sign. Just like when the moon black out is a sign. Amen. All is a sign. He said, look there. Eisenhower in English mean what? Iron.
Yeah.
And Khrushchev in Russia mean clay.
Yeah.
So way back then the time was identified. We were in the end now of the Gentile nations and the kingdoms on the earth. Because from the head of gold Babylon to the toes of iron and clay was Gentile nations.
Yeah.
In the Bible in Luke 21:27. It is called the times of the Gentiles.
Amen.
Romans 11:25 speaks and 26 speaks of the fullness of the Gentiles.
Amen.
But the fullness of the Gentiles is the 7 church ages.
Amen.
But the times of the Gentiles is Gentile rulership over Israel.
Amen.
And that started with Nebuchadnezzar taking Israel into captivity and now they had a goal. And Gentile nations have ruled the world right on until this time. But there is promised another kingdom coming. Because the rock struck the image, not in the waist, not in the head, not in the knees, but in the toes. In the end. Amen. And then the rock grew into a great mountain and filled the earth. And the God of heaven established his kingdom. So a heavenly kingdom was established when? In the days of those 10 kings. Alright. When Jesus came on the earth, they were looking for him to be king. They tried to make him king. They said, we are seeing his time in the east. Where is he born king of the Jews? Come to worship him. Pilate him, mock him, put a purple robe on him, put a crown of thorns, say, Jesus Nazareth, king of the Jews. Amen. And the priest got vexed. He no king of the Jews.
Amen.
Pilate, what I've written, amen.
Amen.
Zechariah saw him coming and riding, your king cometh unto you, meek and lowly, riding the foal of an ass.
Amen.
Amen. Gabriel told Mary, and this son will call him Jesus. He had the throne of his father David, and his kingdom there shall be no end.
Amen.
But he never established no kingdom when he came.
Amen.
When he tried to become king, he told his disciples, I'll teach you to pray.
Amen.
He said, they don't know where it's going, but I'll teach you to pray.
Amen.
Pray, thy kingdom come.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because it's not time for the kingdom now.
Amen.
Because when Jesus came, Rome was ruling the world.
Amen.
The Romans killed Jesus. He came in the legs of iron.
Amen.
But the kingdom of the God of heaven is to come in the days of the toes of iron and clay.
Amen.
So it had a long season to come before the iron went down in the clay.
Amen.
Before it went up into the 10 toes.
Amen.
Before a prophet come and tell you, you're in the 10 toes.
Amen.
Look, Isaiah and Khrushchev.
Amen.
The iron and clay is here.
Amen.
In these days, we will see that great rock coming. He came down from heaven with a book in his hand first, the rock, and the headstone. Hallelujah! Glory to God. To pull the bride out before he comes the third time to bring judgment. So spiritual death struck the 10 kings' nations first. When they reject the message. Hallelujah! But then the literal thing was going to come afterwards. In the time appointed, the place appointed, and the way appointed for it to come. You say, what do you mean? When that lying spirit come out of hell and go in a false prophet's mouth to bring Ahab and the kings and them down into the battle and slaughter them. Amen. When they reject Elijah prophecy. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So Jesus told them, pray, thy kingdom come. In other words, the kingdom won't come yet, so he became a sacrifice. But you see, the churches could never get the revelation. It had to come to a prophet. Yes. Because the prophet John never said, behold the king. He said, behold the lamb. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Because John could rightly divide the word. Yes. But they said, well, he comes to the wilderness and he preached with terminologies of nature. Yes. Crude kind of man. Yes. Blasting the religious leaders. Yes. Shaking the organizations. But he could have divided the word. Yes. And say he's not king now, he's atonement lamb now. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. See a dying Messiah. Don't for the lion yet. The lion will come in the last day, but the lamb coming now. Yes. The sufferings of Christ, then the glory that is to follow after. Yes. Ought not Christ have suffered these things and then enter into his glory? Yes. Must he not go in the mercy seat first? Go in the Father's throne first before he go in his own throne? Yeah. Amen. So I hope you understand that. So notice. So when we come to that time, you know, here that rock is coming now to smite them 10 toes. And Armageddon again. Here Joseph coming back and bowed in it. That's when he's coming back again, yeah, to rule on the earth. And the desert will prosper because everything Joseph did prosper. Amen. Everything he touched, everywhere he went, prospered. Alright. Now look at this. So then when you see coming at that time, Revelation 14 verse 20 to, Revelation 14 verse 14 rather, to Revelation 19 21, Moses and Elijah is already gone, and in a space of time here, just before the millennium, when Jezebel will be judged. That's why Revelation 17 reveals who the harlot is. And it doesn't just tell you she's somebody in the last days. It scans her entire dispensation. Her origin from the time she started there. But in the beginning, while John was even getting the revelation, he said, shall have five kings. Yes, amen. One is here, another one is to come. He will come in a short period of time. Then the seventh of the eighth will be of the seventh. Amen. The beast that was is not, but yet is. Amen. When pagan Rome will become papal Rome. Amen. And then the Antichrist spirit will become ecclesiastical Rome. It will conquer more than political Rome did. Amen. Because that Rome, that iron, went right down to the end. It was down the toes. Amen. Showing iron Rome will be in every nation on the earth. Amen. But Rome as a political empire do exist today. But Rome's ecclesiastical empire exists. Amen. Because the beast was wounded to death, was healed. Amen. And the whole world wondered after him. Amen. All the Protestants wondered after it. Amen. Though they went to the Inquisition, yet they come back and been called separated brethren. Amen. They feel so nice. Amen. Amen. And then what happens? They were right back in again. You see what's taking place? So here we see the whole thing actually saw up to this time. But I want to notice the people who the scripture is speaking about down there is not a new set of people, it's the people who is here now. Amen. Because the people who is judged, what the shadow and tithe, they had rejected Elijah. Amen. Jezebel, Ahab. Amen. All the Zedekiah and the prophets. Amen. That rejected Elijah. And these things in antitype is coming to pass after the days of Elijah. And it happened to them because they rejected the prophecy of Elijah. Amen. And before the Gentile age is over and God burned it in fire, I'll send Elijah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So we see exactly what's happening. Amen. Good. Praise God. Thank you, brother. So when the great hall judgments will judge, and then how God bring them down, all this is what we've seen from the chapter 14 down to chapter, the end of chapter 19. And how Revelation chapter 17, God exposes her who she is, and scans the time from when John was getting the revelation with them five kings there, right down to the end, until God put in the heart of the ten kings to burn the heart with fire in the flesh. Amen. Then Revelation 18 shows that why she's going to be judged, because her cup is full of iniquity come out of the heaven. Amen. And strong is the Lord who judges her. Her burning will come in 1 hour. Yes. In one day she'll get all her plagues. Alright? So all that's being shown, and then chapter 19 is where the actual thing is going on. We see who is doing it. It's Christ and the armies of heaven making war against them, and their battle that starts in heaven with a Michael and Lucifer ends up on the earth. Yes. In the form of Armageddon. Yes. So when you get the Armageddon, it was because of the battle in heaven. Amen. He's gathering the servants in the four corners of heaven. They're gathering them in the four corners of the earth. Amen. And life and death, heaven and hell, is coming together in the final battle. Amen. And was it not that in the beginning of the Bible, when before the Eden was established on the earth was what? Without form and void and full of darkness and chaos. Alright? And that's the condition it is now. Darkness and chaos. Amen. Without form and void. Amen. And darkness cover the earth. Right? Yeah. And then the light shining. Right? And then a transformation can take place to establish God Eden. And that Eden had the first Adam and the first Eve. Amen. Jehovah's masterpiece with dominion over the earth. Amen. Ruling from shore to shore. Son of man, son of God, son of David, back there. Yes. And but before that happened, there's a great battle in heaven. Yes. And before we enter to the millennium, the two armies come back in a great battle again. Yes. And after that great battle Armageddon, then the second Adam, the second Eve, have dominion and rule from shore to shore, from sea to sea, on the earth in the millennium. Yes. And the earth will be renovated. And the Eden will be restored. Amen. So the great battle in time back there that started there in heaven ends up here on the earth now. Amen. Man. And you was in Michael when that battle was fought. Amen. As James. Amen. But now you with Michael as express attributes in flesh. Yes. Glorified body. Yes. Forming the world image. Yes. At his side, finishing up the battle. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. On white chargers. Yes. And right now, that attribute is in you. Yes. Being formed in the world image to change that body and breathe in a glorified state. Yes. And you just on the verge of the sounding of the last trumpet. That's why he's forming you now and being revealed and identified. So notice from chapter 14 verse 14 to Revelation 19:21, it's speaking about that space of time there, which we've been proven and shown in shadow and type. There is a space of time after Moses and Elijah before the millennium, and in that time is where these seven vials is placed. And those seven vials is not connected to Moses and Elijah. We find that out. Because we find out the house and all the judgments and these things took place after the days of Elijah and them. Is that correct? So we get ready now to pick up the scripture here now. Notice the terminology is speaking about sickle and reaping and harvest and clusters and grapes and vine and wine press and treading the wine press. Now if you don't understand what those things are and you can't visualize it, it will be a jumbled piece of confusion here for you that you'll read it and it wouldn't mean nothing to you at all. So as the Holy Spirit begin to reveal that, I begin to look back. I have a little book home I bought there once in America when I was up there about the customs of Bible people. And the man was like, when they had the feast of the first fruits, what did they actually do? When they feast of the tabernacle, what did they actually do? When they said they had a wedding, what did they actually do? The different thing they should do, you see? The way it was carried out, because the Bible is written according to customs of the people back there. It's written that type of setting. So when you talk about all the different things, you go through the eye of the needle. It didn't mean them sewing needle. They have a place called the eye of the needle. And they talk about how they draw the water from the wells, and a well of living water. That is setting back there. You see? So you have to understand the soil and for the soul and the way those things was. So notice this, you know. So I was reading here about the wine press, what the wine press was. And I got to realize the Bible all over speak a lot about this wine pressing, that type of terminology, because in Palestine, the people at their homes, like people over here for a garden, kitchen garden, tomatoes, cabbage, different things. Normally in their homes, they would have olive plants, because the whole life and the Jewish customs, they have olive oil with all the different feasts, and that's what different feasts and so much holy days to keep, and so much different things they have to keep. And they have to have unleavened bread, and they have to have wheat, and they have to have corn, they have to have oil, they have to have different things. Then they would have the plant. And then they would have the grapevine. And if you have a grapevine, what do you use having a grapevine? You just don't eat grapes. Because a lot of the things have to have wine with it too. And then wine is part of the meal and different things. So with the wine now, to get from the grapevine, they would plant the grapevine. And then they would have what we call a wine press. Now the wine press consisted of two parts. You actually dig out a whole trench like, and that was a receptacle for the grapes. And then you dig out another part next to that called the vat. And there'll be a little hole, an outlet, running from the receptacle for the grapes into the vat. So they were, when the grapes ripe under the vine, which is the harvest, that you're reaping or your crop is full, then they take the sickle, which is the instrument they use now for reaping. You know, communism is a tool in the hand of God, you know. Amen. You know, the communist emblem is the sickle, you know. Amen. The hammer. Amen. That way, you're going to punish them nations with too. Amen. And he has that sickle in his hand. Amen. I think you have to think about it. You see, now watch. Amen. So notice this too. So they take that sickle and they're going to cut these grapes in clusters. But the grape grow in clusters. So when they cut the clusters of the grapes off of the vine, they would take them out to the receptacle for the grapes. And in the air, they would have a beam over it. And that beam, they would have some ropes. Because normally, the people who tread the grapes, people go in and trample them like that, you see? That's how they crush them to make the wine. And while they crush them, the juice from the grapes is flowing into the vat. And while they keep bringing grapes and they keep treading, the vat keep getting full. Amen. So he said the vats overflow because the wickedness is great. Amen. And when the vat overflow, then they get the wine cup now and begin to fill the wine cup with the fermented juice that they come from the crushing of the grape. Amen. You see? So here what it says, the grapes are put into the upper part of the wine press and trodden by the feet of men. At least two trod together, and often seven or more. To tread the wine press alone is an expression indicative of desolation. That's why he said in Isaiah 6, he said, I tread the wine press alone. In one sense, back there, he took the wrath of God alone, God's judgment alone. Amen. See? Amen. For us, Amen. The whole punishment of the world. Amen. But in another sense, the scripture is speaking here, and vengeance is in my heart. And I'm going to trample the nations. And the vat's going to overflow with the blood. Amen. So in other words, he's giving an illustration. He says, all the nations come down. Nations and all the armies is like clusters of grapes. Amen. And I'm going to kill them just outside of Jerusalem. Outside the city. Where the great killing and slaughter go on, that'll be my wine press. Amen. And I'm going to tread them and trample them until the blood flow, like the juices flow to the grapes. And the vat will fall so high, the depth of this vat will be like up to the height of a horse bridle. And the length of that vat is 200
miles long,
which is the length of almost Palestine from the top down to the furthest south, which Edom and Bosra. If you have a Scofield Bible, look at the map, the second and third maps, you'll see where those places are located. He who come from Edom, from Bosra, that's a place south of Palestine, showing that all down there grapes will be trampled, clusters of these armies of the nations. And here I said, no, two or more people would tread the wine press. They never just really tread alone. And they would hold onto ropes, each person have an individual rope, to keep trampling that. And they would have certain songs they would sing to get them the momentum. And they're trampling, And that's right. And he's trampling out the vintage. Now we'll strike the vintage just now. The vintage, the season of the vintage, is really the gathering of the grapes for winemaking. When you're going to make wine, when you're going to crush grapes, in other words, that's your vintage season. Because it's coming out from grapes to wine.
Amen.
Because your wine came in the form of grapes. But the grapes are going through a process now to become wine.
Amen.
A grape is grape and wine is the next thing. But the same wine is in the grapes in a form, like the chicken in the egg.
Amen.
And the egg in the chicken, you see? Amen. Now watch. So when it comes to Eden, to that place, he's not going to have a vat, and the vat is going to be outside the city, because I'll trod them outside the city. He's built a location now where this thing will be taking place. Now remember, his eyes like a flame of fire. We'll get just now. His feet like fine brass. But then brass feet was judgment.
Amen.
And the brass feet is trampling all that.
Amen.
See? And he says here, and the trailers usually support themselves by the ropes which are hung over from the crossbeam over the head. And something the reference to this custom is made in Isaiah 55, where it said, my fury, it upheld me. In other words, I wasn't holding on to a rope. It was my fury.
Amen.
Vengeance in the heart. And the day of my judgment, it must come. See? Now, this will be good because, you know, when you pick up the wrath of God bringing from heaven, we know the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance.
Amen.
And we know the event of the second coming. And when the bride will have that part of the ministry.
Amen.
Amen. Jehovah must be identified, the bride will have that part. And since in this day of the prophet, he took the book and read that part.
Amen.
But the fulfillment comes later on.
Amen.
The bride give a witness.
Amen.
To the lost that the door is closed.
Amen.
Because the third point of the lost went on after the door was closed.
Amen.
But the real wrath came when the same thing that saved Noah, which is the word, which is the water, drunk the people.
Amen.
Then all the volunteers went out of the ark and began to eat the dead bodies.
Amen.
That's floating all around. When David tells Goliath, today I'll feed the fowls of the air, all the carcass of the host of the Philistines. Today, this day, I'll feed you to the fowls of the air. And David was what? The eighth. The bride age, the only character that the oil was poured upon.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We are type of this day again.
Amen.
And that day is when Goliath, the great challenge, was on.
Amen.
And in that day is when the prophecy went forth concerning the great supper.
Amen.
Where did it fed to the fowls of the air? You get me see now?
Amen.
Okay, just lay that off. Okay, so it says now, the pressure of the grapes, see, the pressure of the grapes by the feet, when they trample it, it naturally spotted the red juice over the upper garments. While they're crushing it so, that was it. You come from Bosra and Edom, how come your garments stain? Like those who tread the wine press. Because many people don't tread the wine press and they're coming back. You have known they have been to the wine press because you see the stains in their garments. You know what I'm saying? And he began to tell them now. He said, because my fury upheld me. Well, I was clearing. Because what? In other words, he was sustained solely by the strength of his passion. His fury is what upheld him. The passion for to judge them. This wicked world filled her double. Because she drunk all the nations of the earth. With the wine, the wrath of her fornication from her cup in her hand. Yeah. Now I will pour my wine without mixture. Yeah. And I'll give her the drink. And I'll fill her cup double to what she fill and give the world to drink and drunken them. Yeah. Now those people have heard this message. Those people God talking about have heard this message. Amen. And they are here, somebody is here tonight hearing the message again. Amen. Now what are you going to do about it? Because when the door closed, nobody can be saved, you know. Amen. So the door closed, either you inside here or out there. Alright. So the vintage now that we're speaking of, the vintage and the harvest of the grapes coming ripe, the harvest is ripe. But the vintage now, the crush now, are the grapes to make into wine. The vintage of wine, see? So, the vine of the earth, he says, put in the sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for the grapes are fully ripe. And then, he says, and the earth was reaped, and then he gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Because that is the title tonight, the great winepress of the wrath of God. That's what I want. The great winepress of the wrath of God. But right here in spiritually, he's sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Amen. He have loosed his faithful light of his terrible swift sword, his two-edged sword on his mouth. Like going to slay them when he comes back to tread his winepress. Because that judgment begins in the house of God now when the investigative judgment ends. Amen. When the books are open and he's judging the living and the dead. Amen. And you who grew up in the first resurrection, you see your name in the book and you have the earnest of your change and your body is still heavenly and your veil, and you know you grew up in the resurrection. Amen. Those who is caught in a system, who is caught fooling along the message without a birth, is in trouble. It's either the seal of God or the mark of the beast. And I say, if in the message, you will take the mark of the beast too. Understand what I'm saying? Because you could be in the mess and reject the Holy Spirit. And when you reject the Holy Spirit, you make a way for the devil to become incarnate in you. And the devil incarnate in you will make us sell out to the system. Because that is where that demon in you come from. The Euphrates River. From Babylon. Because if some people have only messaged all these years and can't live a life worthy of the gospel now, how would they face the world comes to churches? When the same, and how could we hear any message all these years and didn't get the Holy Spirit yet? They're not mixing the word of here with faith. They're not obeying the word of here. It has to be. You, some people they like to say, I need a message and 12 years. How come you like Jesus yet? How come you form any word image yet? How come you're not those on your feet yet? How come you don't even recognize your position in the body yet? Then being a message, you belong to a church. You influenced by a man or somebody all these years. But you're walking with God, you'll find your place. Amen. You'll know who you are, you'll know where you're going. Amen. You'll see Christ being formed in your life. Amen. So quickly, let me give you an idea of what this vine is. I'll be chasing some scriptures here. Psalms 80. Psalms 80. Because I want you to understand fully, I give you the picture of the wine press and the threat of the wine press is, and the cup of his indignation. So just to bring it out, what is the vine that he's going to trample upon? Who is that vine? Who is those people? Is people called a vine? Christ is the true vine. And you are the branches in that vine. And there's a false vine too. Psalms 80. Time is gone, but I'll give about 5 minutes. May God help me keep that. Okay, Psalms 80 verse 8. God speaking about Israel here through David in his spirit here, you see. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt, and thou hast cast out the nations and planted it. Where did he cast out the nations from? Canaan land. And the vine he brought out of Egypt, he planted in Canaan land. So Israel is a vine. And thou preparest room before it and didst cause it to take deep root and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs therefore were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea and her branches unto the river. See? Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they who pass by the way do pluck her? See, you have hedges to protect your vine, your plant. So people just pluck your grapes, you see? That's for the protection of your vine. The bog in the forest does waste it, and the wild beasts of the field that devour it. All them spirits and them foreign armies coming there, invade the land, destroy the people, carry the captivity. God binds to go and plant. See? Return to beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire. It is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the mouth of thy right hand, upon the Son of Man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. That is going to show the vintage, you see. So will not we go back from there. Revive us, quicken us, and we'll call upon thy name. Restore us. Turn us again. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine. We shall be saved. So get this story. Israel was in Egypt. And God went on Egypt and see his vine, pluck it out, carry it to his promised land, drive up all the nations and plant his vine there. It grew and spread out to a great big fruitful vine. But then the hedges to protect it begin to waste down. Which was nations coming and being devoured and waste it. So they're calling out for a restoration for the vine to come back. See? So notice. But God, when God's looking for that vine and the plant of Canaan land to bring forth good grapes, it brings forth wild grapes. Turn to Isaiah 5. Try to do quick. I don't want to keep you back. If you turn the page slow, then you keep him back, right? Isaiah 5, verse 1. Now will I sing to my well beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. All these things flows into Revelation. Every vine, every wine press, every vineyard is put in the Bible talking about a great wine press, a great owner of that wine press, a great vat going to overflow. It's all speaking about something in Revelation. Amen. But it's coming down to the Bible to be gathered up in the air. So we just follow it out. See? My well beloved has a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he digged it and gathered out the stones, planted it with the choicest vine, built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press in it, and he looked for it to bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Now let me get it plain. God bring you out the denomination and bring you in the Ephesians. And dig a land and plant you.
Amen.
And hedge you around with his word.
Amen.
And demon, when God looks at his grapes now, demon powers break down your hedges. When you have a big word, something to make wine. See, to give God to bring stimulation. That wine a wrath, and that wine a stimulation of revelation. Amen. David said, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me.
Amen.
Alright, Jesus said, you can't put new wine, which is the revelation, in old bottles.
Amen.
Old denominational bottles, the bottle was not natural bottle of glass. Those bottles was what? Skins.
Amen.
Of the animals.
Yeah.
Already the animal skins, and they make it into wine skins. If it's a new skin, the oil in the skin will have it flexible. Because wine is a thing, as it begins to ferment, it begins to expand.
Yeah.
And when the wine begins to expand as fermenting, it begins to move, it alives, it goes bloop, bloop. And if it doesn't have enough room to expand, then it's going to burst that very skin.
Yeah.
But a new skin now, the oil in it, it can expand with it. But if you use a skin you already had wine fermented in, then while that first wine expands, then that skin stretch.
Yeah.
And it loses flexibility.
Yeah.
So you're going to sell a new set of wine in that now. When that wine begins to ferment and expand now, the oil in that skin it doesn't dry out.
Yeah.
That skin doesn't stretch its limit. So it dry and parch. So you're going to burst with the wine. So when he came, he said, these Jews, with the old denominational system, I kept Paul's revelation inside of them. That old dry denominational skin, we believe so and so. How it could be one God, it's three persons in one God. The skin to parch and dry. It's going to burst this wine and throw all the wine. But it's a new skin, it's flexible. It's going to praise God. I never see that. That's the word. Lord, thank for deliverance. It's flexible, it can move. See? Now when God looked for them to bring forth grapes, they bring forth wild grapes. And here's the people in this hour, they're bringing forth wild grapes. You can imagine God in his vineyard, walking to his vineyard tonight, and seeing wild grapes on you. After he bring you to Egypt, plant inside of here, hedge you around. Amen!
Yeah.
You bring forth the whole wild saw grapes to edge his teeth. And cause her to believe in the message. After God drives out all them demon powers from around you, walk to you, watch over you, prune you all these years, live sanctified for so long. Hosea chapter 10. Look what happened to the vine again. God looking for you to bring forth fruit, but it brings forth fruit unto its own self. They went to establish what? Their own righteousness.
Amen.
Their own religious works.
Amen.
Pick up the spiritual. I give you another catch the spiritual one time, you know.
Amen.
Because what you preach is present tense, so you know. Hosea 10:1, verse 1, just one verse. Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself according to the multitude of his fruit. He has increased the altars. All kind of strange altars. Strange sacrifices.
Yes.
On them altars. You know what God require? Cain had altars.
Yeah.
But you know what God require on the altar?
Yeah.
According to the goodness of his land, and they have made handsome images. See? The heart is divided, now shall it be from 40. He shall break down the altar and shall spoil the images. Amen. So when the Lord of the vineyard now sent the servants of the fruit of the vineyard, the husbandman beat one, kill one, stone one, and then he sent his son, and they took him and cast him out of the vineyard, and they slew him. And the Lord said, what will he do to them men when he comes?
Amen.
You want to read that? Listen to Mark 12. In Mark 12, when Jesus came, he knew about those things. I knew what it represented in the Bible. I knew it was going to come the last days when he comes as a judge. So he began to tell them about it in a parable, what was going to happen. They're bringing forth wild grapes. bringing forth fruit to their own selves. After God bring the Egyptian plant them.
Yes.
Now God come among them. And have all kind of man's images. Man personality. All kind of strange altars. Amen. When God himself come. After their servants upon one after another speak to them. They stone them and kill them and crucify them on the pulpits.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
And when God himself come, the Holy Spirit himself come and they convict them, they drive it out. Do they want it? No. Mark 12. And he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard. And so I heard about it. We see how he planted a vineyard in Canaan land. He got the vine in Egypt. That's what he's talking about. He said that a hedge about it. We saw that. He hedged them around. How is that hedge broken down? He dug a place for the wine press. Or the wine vat. Same thing. And built a tower. And let it out or leased it to tenants, husbandmen, pastors, ministers.
Amen.
To prune his vine. To bring forth the fruit. To bring glory unto God. But they use the people for their own purposes.
Yes.
To become a wealthy, to become established,
yes.
To become lords of a God heritage.
Yes.
God vineyard, Lord of a God vineyard.
Yes.
There's only a husbandman. There wasn't the owner, they didn't plant it.
Yes.
I the Lord have planted.
Yes.
I the Lord have watered.
Yes.
I the Lord give the increase.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Catch a vision of the scriptures tonight.
Yeah.
And at the season he sent the tenants. The husbandmen. A servant that he might receive from the husbandmen or the tenants of the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him and beat him and sent him away empty. God sent them godly pastors to preach and say, come on now. This guy, a man's spirit ruling inside of here and his self-styled business and people on their own things and the message and so on and so on. So. And they can't take that. You come in here and tell us you want fruit for the owner? I know that we take over this vineyard here. We're going to run this the way we want it. And then say, well, the sovereign authority, the local elder, is the Holy Spirit. In the local elder. Ruling by the word. Not your own purposes. No. And again, he sent unto them another servant, Luther Wesley.
Amen.
All them coming down, he sent them servants.
Amen.
And at him they cast stones, wounded him in the head, sent him away shamefully handed. And again, he sent another, and him they killed, and men had beaten some and killing some. Moody, Sankey, Finney, Knox, all them.
Amen.
Having yet, therefore, one son, his well-beloved, Malachi 4:5 in the evening time.
Amen.
He sent unto the last, at last unto them saying, they will reverence my son, because I'll bring the pillar of fire.
Yes.
It'll be the great son being revealed in this son.
Yes.
I'm sure they'll reverence that. I'll put in a psych sign out there so they'll make sure it's not a man.
Yes.
Yes.
But those tenants said among themselves, this is at the heir. Come, let us kill him, and inheritance shall be ours. Satan Eden. We'll get rid of this message, so we'll be established as God, because this is the only message that exposes us.
Amen.
This is the only seven seals that uncovers our evil works.
Amen.
Is this word that is in our hearts and bring out our evil counsels? So let's crucify this mess and destroy it, and then we'll be able to have our denominational spree.
Amen.
Is that correct?
Amen.
We'll get drunk with wine or fornication or false doctrine. With our sour grapes?
Yeah.
Alright! So they took him and they killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. Did they do it?
Yeah.
There they crucified him in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
He died outside.
Yeah.
Going beyond the camp.
Yeah.
Hallelujah! Died right outside the city, he tread his wine press.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandman and will give the vineyard unto others. All these will kill. God will raise them back up and make them in charge of the vineyard in the millennium. Amen. Hallelujah. See? So notice, John 15. Quickly. John 15. So after they killed that son, Jesus himself, the revealed word, he became the true vine. And his disciples is called branches. John 15. He said, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, may bring forth more fruit. You are not clean to the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch can bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. Is that correct? And if you abide in him, you can't bring forth tall grapes. You can't bring forth fruit of your own self. Because if you abide in him, you abide in you, that old life has to die and come out. That old self will have to be torn down. That veil of self will. To let him go into the most holy place in the control tower in the heart. Amen. See, he says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He that abide in me and I in him, and the same begin for much fruit, for without me can do nothing. If a man abides in me, he is cast for the branch and is withered, and men do gather him and cast him into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. In this my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. So what is this vine of the earth? It can't be the true vine that's been trampled. It's the Antichrist spirit. For way back in Eden come right down, and all who belong to the wicked system, that is the grapes. That is that vine, that false vine, and is now going to trample out them grapes as a man does in his wine press. Amen. One or two more things, and we close up quickly. Now, the wine press of the fierceness of the wrath of God, Isaiah speak of here, Isaiah 63. Let's just read back that quickly. Isaiah 63. Let's play some of these scriptures here. So you'll see where this. We aren't teaching tonight, so we're studying, so that's alright. Who is yet coming from Edom? With dyed garments from Bozrah? This is that glorious in his apparel, traveling great in the greatness of his strength. I who speak in righteousness might say, why art thou red? R-E-D, red, scarlet, thy blood, in thine apparel, and thy garments like who treadeth in the wine fat? And he answered no. He said, yes. Is a wine fat to come from? But no natural grapes. It's a vine that bring forth sour grapes. Bring forth fruit unto itself. See, it's a vine when I send to get the fruit of it, the stone and the kill. All them prophets, who killed them? Rome? Was they the ones who killed them? Then what will the Lord do with them husbandmen over that vineyard? See? He said, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the peoples there was none with me. For I will tread them, people, them, not grapes, them. Amen. In my anger, and trample them. In my fury, and their blood. Amen. Notice Revelation 14:20. It says, and the blood came out there, and was to the horse bridles. Amen. Not grape juice, blood from the vine of the earth. Amen. Well, here he's going, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments. And I will stain all my raiment, for the day of vengeance is in my heart. When he's on the cross, wasn't there vengeance in his heart? Because he prayed, Father, forgive them. That's mercy. And the year of my redeeming is come. Amen. Look quickly at Revelation 19. Let's read it and see what that says. This Armageddon again. Revelation 14 is Armageddon. Revelation 16 is Armageddon. Revelation 19 is Armageddon. Because between 14 and chapter 19 is speaking about Armageddon and the judgment upon the great harlot. And all these things are taking place right there. Revelation 19 verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True and Righteous, he that judge and make war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns.
Notice Revelation 14, when he came in, he had a golden crown on his head.
Amen.
Where did he get that crown? He came from the marriage supper.
Amen.
Where they crowned him king of kings, Lord of lords.
Amen.
So you see the same thing he's speaking of here? Because Revelation 1, he have a white wig on his head, and he has seven stars in his right hand.
Amen.
Over here he have a golden crown on his head, and he have what? A sickle in his hand. Revelation 10, he had a rainbow around his head, and he had a book in his hand.
Amen.
So it's a rainbow over his head, a book in his hand, a white book over his head, seven stars in his hand. Amen. Here he have a crown on his head, a sickle in his hand.
Amen.
Watch those things. See? And in righteousness, he that judge and make war, as like a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns, and he had a name that no man knew but himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His vesture dipped in blood. How is thy garments red? How is it dripping blood?
Amen.
He was treading the wine press. Let us see that is true. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies that were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. With it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the wine press of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. So when is that happening? Where is he treading the wine press? Outside the city.
Amen.
When? Is Armageddon. When that is, the day of his vengeance.
Amen.
When that is, his second coming.
Amen.
When all eyes shall see him.
Amen.
Not this one like a mystery coming like a thief in the night. That one coming in a cloud and all eyes shall see him.
Amen.
Amen. And he had on his vest and his tie a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Isaiah 34. Let's see another scripture to make it a little more plain to show that is Armageddon there, and at the time when he is actually judging the great harlot. He's trampling out his wine press. He always speaks of judgment. Harvest is speaking of judgment. The vintage. Isaiah 34, verse 1. Come near, you nations, to hear and hearken, you peoples. Let the earth hear and all that is in therein, the wood and all things that come forth from it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. What is upon the nations? His indignation. He will give them the wine of the wrath poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation.
Amen.
His strength and his fury upheld him.
Amen.
Upon what? All their armies, military power, Ahab and them going in the battle, deceived by the kings, deceived by the false prophets rather, who prophesied a lie after Elijah went forth. And he had utterly destroyed them, and he had delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain archers shall be cast out, and their stench shall come of their carcasses, and their mountains shall be melted with their blood, and all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together like a scroll, and all the hosts shall fall down as they leap from the vine, like a fallen fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edom. He who come from where? Edom, from Bozrah. His garments dipped in blood. When he's treading the wine press, when he's coming back from heaven, Revelation 19, where the wine press outside the city, Revelation 14,
Amen.
When the vats were flowing in joy tree,
Amen.
You know what he's saying?
Amen.
It's Armageddon he's speaking of.
Amen.
Upon the people of my curse of judgment, the sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, the blood of lambs and goats, and the fat of the kids of the rams. For the Lord had a sacrifice where? In Bozrah, and a slaughter in the land of Edom. And that's where he came with blood on his garments. And the wild oxen shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood. 200 furlongs up to the bridle of the horses. The whole land will be drenched in blood from the wine press and the vat overflowing, because your wickedness is great. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance again, and the year of recompenses and the controversy of Zion. When that is? When all the nations come and gather around Jerusalem. Amen? So what's something? Isaiah 63, 1 and 6. Isaiah 40, Revelation 40, 19 and 20, Revelation 19, 15. Christ is treading out with feet of brass. He's treading the winepress. But the winepress this time now, it was speaking to the Bible, was the time that's going to come when he's going to destroy the nations of the earth, which is Gentile nations, and who received the message of Elijah? Who did Elijah come to? He is a prophet to all nations.
Amen.
The gospel came to the Gentile world. Where is the darkness settled upon now? The Gentiles. Amen. It's dawning for the Jews. It's light coming time for the Jews now.
Amen.
The new day is going to break for Israel now.
Amen.
When the sun will come and shine. And they will know who Messiah is. But for the Gentiles, it's darkness now.
Amen.
Why? Because they reject the light.
Amen.
The light that comes to the message. That's why the blind and gross darkness come. But arise and shine, your light is come.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And this message goes to the Jews. He says, stay out of Israel. Is that correct?
Amen.
But go around to the Gentile world seven times. And who is going to be in Armageddon? The Gentile world he went from to seven times. Who is the Catholics and all the Protestants? Not Jews, Gentiles. Which is the church that will control in politics? Gentiles. The armies will be made up of who? Protestants and Catholics. The vine of the earth. The system of the devil. He is actually coming with a sickle to reap it. But before he reaps that vine, he's reaping this one.
Amen.
The sickle of truth is going forth to reap his harvest now. Because it's harvest time. And what were the churches that bring God food for themselves? That bring forth sour grapes. That stone the servants and kill them. That the branches that they purge and bring forth no fruit. It's all happening now. I'm the vine and you're the branches. And where's the fruit for the season? The teaching for the season. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And what is the teaching for the season? It's a prophecy. What is the prophecy for the teaching? And what is that prophecy? There shall be a super church. There is to be a super race. There is to be a bride to follow that bridegroom that come and reveal amongst us. There must be a body to follow that head.
Amen.
To prove the marching peace.
Amen.
Then when God will find that, when he moves along in his vineyard, which is the message, the revealed word, and he don't find it. And when his servants go in the world and they are stoned and killed and crucified, the message they preach on the pulpit. And when men control them and they become self-styled, what's going to become of it? Is it the scriptures?
Yes.
Is it speaking about Revelation 14? Look at prophecy, look at type. Look at all these things. The symbols, what it come out and what it shows here to be. That is actually the scriptures being revealed. See? Revelation 1:15, I just throw it out for you now. Great time is gone. He's treading feet of brass, eyes like a flame of fire. Feet of brass. Sharp to the sword of his mouth. And then brass feet is no longer beautiful feet. What was the beautiful feet that he had? Was his servants come preaching the gospel?
Amen.
Preaching to you in meetings like this? When you sit under the word like this? They will come back to judge those who they preach to?
Amen.
You sit on the service and you're tired and you're long. And you didn't know the service here used to be so long. And you know it's been so long it'll come. I mean, you don't have to leave to be embarrassment. But think, it's life and death.
Yes.
This is not some little denominational message to make you feel nice in church. This is telling the hour that we are living in and what God is expecting and what is going to happen for those who fail to meet that standard.
Yes.
And showing the scriptures. Revelation 18, one more scripture. Last one.
It's something I want to strike here to close the message. I'll show that those armies is Protestant Catholics. I'll show the cup of his indignation. What's really happening here?
the wine, the wrath of God is poured out, mixing the cup of indignation. The cup of the wine are the fierceness of his wrath. You know that cup will be served in the house of God first? That'll be a bitter cup. Some will get a sip in that cup. Ananias and Sapphira. That same merciful, this Jesus we're talking about here in these scriptures is not nice, loving, sweet Jesus. You have him on a cross and a chain around your neck, you know. This is Jesus, the judge, who come in the harvest time with his fierceness. This is the Lamb of God, this is the Lion of Judah. He treaded the winepress, the fierceness of wrath. Amen. Revelation 18, quickly. Last scripture, close. And after this thing, I saw another angel coming from heaven, having great power, and the earth was made bright with his glory. Thank God he's here amongst us tonight speaking. And he cried mightily with a strong voice. The voice is real strong tonight. Babylon is great, is falling, is falling. It's falling all around your life. It's crumbled around you. You are cemented in Babylon. But God shook the foundation of Babylon around you and pulled you out. And then the whole big system of Babylon will fall also. And it become the habitation of what? Devils. And the hold. Now get these three words. Habitation, hold, and cage. And the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. A habitation is a domain. A cage. See? Is an area, a place they're confined. A hold. A place. In other words, you know where every foul spirit is? The border around which it is Babylon. But where is Babylon today? From sea to sea, from coast to coast. Because all the nations shall be them drunk. See? For all nations are drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Because she's a prostitute. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. My people. Amen. I'll call them by the name. Amen. I'll give them part of my own name. That you be not partake of her sins and receive not of her plague. For her sins are reached unto heaven. And God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she hath rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. Where? In the cup which she hath filled. Filled to her double. With what? With the wine of the wrath of God poured out mixed here. You would like to stir around one of them systems when you see God has in store for those people? And if you belong to a religious organization tonight, might have been for many years, look, the scriptures declare how God has seen those people. In that system that reject his word and what he have in store for them. He's a filter, her double. He said, but that's a woman. You can't treat her so. God say, I'll burn her house, I'll stone her, I'll make a foul eat her. I'll destroy her. Her stench will be on the hills. When they come here, maybe only find a skull and button your fingers or something. As we're going, read the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Now what does that mean? Double unto her, double. Reward her double. What does that mean? We can close here tonight. You know what that means? You interested?
Amen.
It doesn't make no sense. You go and don't know what it means. Or maybe you think it just means plenty punishment. I want to show you something. Double judgment. We found out that God is still an adulterer. We found he's still in the end still.
We found that God sent fowls in the air, and the beasts of the field, they eat through, and the sword and famine. We found it still in the air. Always God judgment, run right through the Bible. I want to share that double reward is God we for reward and judgment. Blessing and judgment is the same way always. Double. From the beginning, that was God's law. And the end, when he comes to the judger, he said double. He was only speaking his own law in the scripture.
Amen.
And she gave people to drink wine. Well, he was giving out wine too.
Amen.
She gave people a cup full. He said two cup fulls.
Amen.
Fill her cup double. Without mixtures, and burn it dry, 40 of her proof. Who should be in the world long ago? And the first one, they can't take it. He said, come on, a second one. No water. Take it right away. His eye will not spare pity. Double unto her. For strong is the Lord that judgeth her. She had no mercy when she was given to drink. She was doing a wicked, dirty, stealing spirit to receive. I'll give it a strong to drink. You hear me now? Always come. She will get her plagues in one day. That's how God is, you know. Exodus 22. Watch God in the Bible here. All this thing you read in Revelation, like the wine press, the divine, look how it comes all through the Bible. Look how the double reward comes all through too. Exodus 22, quickly, we're on our way out. We almost... Who going up San Fernando? Who going Port of Spain? Child going Belmont? You're on your way out already. You're just taking this as you're going. Amen. I hope this is called this courage of comfort the rest of the night. If you're a stranger, come still. Amen. We love you. Amen. It's just that, you see, we just want to really know what is happening. This hour was where it's taking place. Amen. Exodus 22, verse 9. For all manner of trespass, this is God's law here now, judgments concerning property rights and so on, whether it be of ox, for ass, for sheep, for raiment, for any manner of lost thing, which another challengeth to be his. Somebody make a claim on somebody else's property. The cause of both parties shall come before the judges. And whom the judges shall condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbor. If a man deliver his neighbor, an ox or an ass or a sheep or any beast to keep and it die, or being hurt or driven away, no man seen it. As a gun, the higher than that, and some people had this cat in the dark kind of pushed in a van. It looked really funny to me. Then shall an oath of the Lord be between them both, and hath not put his hand unto his neighbor goods, and the owner of it shall accept thereof, he shall make it good. And if it be stolen from him, he shall make restitution unto the owner thereof. If it be torn in pieces, then let him bring it for a witness, and he shall make good of that which is torn. Now what? God say you'll pay double. Now if somebody stole $500 from you, and you suspect the person, and then the case is called, and the person brought before the judges, and that money was for me to pay a rent, 5 months rent. You go through 5 months there suffering. When that person come and is proven guilty, you say, sorry, look back your $500. That's not what God is talking about. Because they only giving you back what is yours. They didn't borrow it, they stole it. They distress you. They make you suffer by taking what is yours. They put you in a position where you're happy to suffer and do it out. Situation. Away, then there is no punishment for them. You just give back what is here, what is already yours.
Yes.
So you get back here, but it was not punished. So when they be punished, they have to pay back 10. They will be without fire, they suffer to know what you went through.
Amen.
So all those people they kill and they're found drunk with the blood of the martyrs. Destroy 68 million or three dark ages, Catholic Church coming through all these things.
All this, look at Isaiah 40 and 2. See that double judgment. See that God's law. Isaiah, speak you tenderly to Jerusalem and cry unto her that warfare is accomplished, that iniquity is pardoned, for she had received the Lord's hands double for all her sins. Jeremiah 16, 17 and 18. Some of you ain't find Isaiah yet. Jeremiah 16. You see, you keeping back the service? Jeremiah 16, 17 and 18. For mine eyes are upon all their ways, they are not hidden from my face, neither is their iniquity hidden from my eyes. At first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double, because they have defiled my land. They have had filled my inheritance with the carcass of their detestable and abominable things. All the false sacrifice, the false doctrines, the false teaching, the abomination, the churches, all these things. They fill the land with it. You can hardly find a message church living holy and walking right and walking the message. God will make them pay double. Amen. Jeremiah 17, 18. Let them be confounded that persecute me, but let them not be confounded. Let them be dismayed, but let them not be dismayed. Bring upon the day of them the day of evil, and destroy them with double destruction. Reward at double. Fill a cup with this kind of wine I trample out here, and my wine starts overflowing. Fill a cup double with that, with strong, without mixture. What does that mean? Matthew 10:18. I tell you, people should be running to the revealed word. People want to sit in a denomination, say, "This is my church. This is small. My mother wasn't this, and God would study your religion." I think you will run to the revealed word of God, showing you that God will destroy those things, fill a cup double. Are we in that time? Hear what God said. Matthew 10:28. Speaking here about these people who are going to deliver up their councils, world council of churches, hate you for his name's sake, persecute from one city to the other until the Son of Man come. All being he says, and fear not them who kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. They killed 68 million bodies of God's people. God said, I'll kill them twice. I'll destroy the body, I'll destroy the soul, a double destruction. And God has two deaths, the first death and the second death. Is that correct? I give the scripture to your hundreds of home. Revelation 2:11, Revelation 26 and 14, Revelation 21:8. The two deaths, the first death and the second death. I don't want to keep you back.
Take your time, brother.
Amen. Isaiah 61:7. Let's take that and close. You see, it is strange as I'm thinking about. I'm really having compassion on them tonight. I think I have them here too long. They're not accustomed. They're accustomed to 15 minutes message and some business announcements. Isaiah 61:7. Okay, that is clear. For your shame you shall have double. For your confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess a double portion. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. In other words, those who have to judge, he destroy them with double destruction. Those who have to bless, he bless them with double blessing. He gave them a new nature and he gave them a new body too. Amen.
Amen.
They couldn't destroy a soul. God changed that old nature. Give you a new nature. Amen. Then what happened there? We have a new body also. A double blessing, because you can receive God's word tonight. But if not, and you identify with a system and destroy God's people and couldn't destroy a soul, he'll destroy them with a double destruction. So you see, it is always God's law in the Bible. It wasn't just to restore stolen property, If that was all that was required, there would be no punishment. But it must be restored double because of the offense that was committed. And when God comes to judge these people there, he said, now, the vat was flowing, and I'm going to fill the cup double. With what? The cup of my indignation, I'm going to fill it double with the wine and the fierceness of my wrath. Stone them with hail, feed them to the fowls of the air, destroy them, burn them with fire one day. How all things. Give them grievous sores, turn the water to drink into blood. Double destruction. And they say, they really drink, was drunk with the blood of the saints. It's good that they get them blood to drink. That was going to happen, that's what the Bible says. So here we are, trust of Revelation 14. It's not hard and complicated for you now, but you see where it is. Revelation 14, Revelation 19 is a preview of Armageddon, where he's coming. He's speaking of the day of vengeance, when he's coming back there, and that day of vengeance is already beginning to break forth, because the prophet was handed the book. Like Christ, the first time, he handed the book to the priest. He has handed the book the second time. The Jubilee is sounded. They're refusing the Jubilee, and they're being born in the air. And those who take the mark of the beast is going down to receive a double destruction. But those who hear the Jubilees come out to receive a double reward. Aren't you glad tonight?
Amen.
You enjoy tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Could we all stand to our feet? So tomorrow, we try to get Revelation 15. You can read it up in the day. We straighten all that for you by the grace of God. This great mysterious book of Revelation, a book for the bride of Jesus Christ that God gave unto her, and how he has been so gracious unto us to let us see these things in these last days. I'm really sorry to keep you long, so we have to travel far, but I trust it's worth it, sitting in the presence of God, hearing the word, being taught the word, and seeing and understanding the time that we're in, and all the things setting already now, and right now, it by the decision you make, will determine which side you take, which road you're on. But there's one way to the city of God. There's one way to Armageddon. The mark of the beast or the seal of God. The denominations, creeds of man, man's interpretation, or the revealed word of God that God sent this day to bring it into the truth. But my sheep will hear my voice. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way and few will find. And that straight, look in your Bible, is not straight, it's straight. That's water. That's a body of water. Because that's the way you're coming, by water baptism. Not somebody sprinkling with water. Being immersed. Not in titles of Father, Son, Holy Ghost, but in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Not names. Name, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you do in word and in deed, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. As Ananias told Paul, rise, call upon the name of the Lord, and wash away your sins. He prayed for him, and his eyes that was blind came open. Then he went and said, the way that is called heresy, so do I worship the God of my Father's name. Amen. All what I know in denomination are counted down.
Amen.
Amen. To know the excellency of the wisdom of the knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So you stranger, your visitor, may God take these things and make it real unto you in your heart. They're always late in the times at hand. And we gather here together to check ourselves, see which direction we're heading, see what control our lives, what influence our lives. If you don't know how to reveal the word of God, then God is making it known unto you that God's not a prophet. God opened up the seven seals that seal this Bible to reveal these things. And that voice is saying, come out of her, my people. Come out of Babylon and be not partaker of her plagues. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we have kept the people long. They have other responsibilities that is important to them also. We know that this is the most important thing, to hear your word, but while we're here upon this earth, we know we have things to do, that we have committed ourselves and even given our word towards these things. No doubt there might be some like that here tonight. But Lord, they've been patient. Might have been a little tired and weary in the mind at times. Might have been a little distracted at times. But something in their heart tells them that they're always late in the time at hand. And the voice of the Spirit speaks expressly. And the Holy Spirit
bringing to light the scriptures, shining light in all way. Your word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto our pathway. Dear God, we now take it and we hide it in our hearts that we would not sin against thee. May filter our thinking, Lord. May give us a holy man taste. May take all the world away from us. May shake Babylon, confusion from round about us, Lord. May it lift us up into a heavenly place. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that these things have been spoken. Lord God, would encourage the hearts of your people. God, you are here in your vineyard among the bride. May we bring forth fruit for you, Father. When you send your servants, may we receive them gladly. May we not bring up all kind of images and all kind of altars, Lord. May we not stone your servants and try to kill them and break the influence. But oh God, may we receive our purge and bring forth fruit. For in this our Father glorified, we bear much fruit. May that fruit, oh God, bring forth wine for your table, Lord. Stimulation. That you can rejoice and can be a blessing, Father, unto you. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight. There are strangers here amongst us. Visitors. Different people from different backgrounds, different walks of life. But we are gathered tonight together in one place. And we have listened to the message attentively. It's left now for us to compare the scriptures, what we have heard, and see if those things are the truth. If it is, then we are confronted with truth. If we are in error, then we cannot continue in error when truth is being revealed. For to show we have wicked deeds and we don't desire to walk in light when light is presented. I know, God, if we see the light and it's shown us that we are walking in denominational darkness and error, God, may we quickly turn away. May we receive it all our hearts. So many times we call all the callers, the Spirit lead us. But tonight, Lord, may the word just work in the hearts of the people by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, like the people in the book of Acts, they came and asked Paul about those things after. They inquired, they wanted to know more. They told him to come back. They would come back again another time to hear more of it. Let it be so, Father, in the hearts of your people. They whom you have led to know the truth tonight, who you have brought in our gates to sit and receive these things. Bless each and every one. As they live to go back to their homes, may your presence go with them. Watch over them and protect them. As you brought them safely, so take them back safely. And Lord, grant them health and strength, rest in their bodies. We have designated this week to come nightly. God, we ask for strength and that you keep us in the attitude of prayer and under the inspiration of your word. We can be in the right frame of mind, the right attitude, the right atmosphere. And when we come, that you can speak to us, Lord. You can deal with our hearts. Heavenly Father, may you grant it. This week, you can even take us on higher ground. And we can walk a closer walk with you. Grant it, Jesus. This is our plea. We come each and every one to your hands tonight. And we thank you for the blessing we have received. Looking forward to expectation for more from you tomorrow. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may have a seat. And the ushers will dismiss you quietly. Let's sing a little song. Thou my everlasting portion, more than friend of life to me. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee. As we dismiss, may God bless you. Trust you enjoy the service. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow night again. Let's come in early. Let's come in prayed up. Let's come with expectation in our hearts. If you don't know him and you're only baptized, arrangements will be made. We are here to cooperate and give every assistance that we could to help you walk in God's revealed and provided way for this day, that you might know him whom to know is life eternal, that you might fulfill all righteousness, all that we require of you. So may God bless you. We just sing this song. As the usher will dismiss the people. Thou my everlasting God, more than friend of life to me. Thou my everlasting God.
as we are voting tonight, all along my pilgrim journey, the journey to this earth, looking for a city whose make and build is God. Why don't you slip your hand in his hand tonight? Say, but let me walk with you. Walk in his presence, walk in the light of his word. You might be walking with him and lagging behind in some denominational fiction. Come close to him tonight. Walk close to him. Where there's nothing between your soul and your Savior. Real close. You're becoming like him. He is filling your life more and more with his presence. All along my pilgrim journey, hallelujah, hallelujah. Walk with you tonight. Go up the King's Highway, not the Armageddon, up the King's Highway, a way of holiness. Not for ease or worldly pleasure. For fame, you don't want that tonight. Worldly recognition, you want godly recognition. My prayer shall be when you really do it, gladly will I toil and suffer. That's your conviction tonight. Do you really feel that way down in your heart? Only let me walk with thee. Don't you feel his presence coming down close to you tonight as you sing it with sincerity? Close to thee, close to thee. Make a decision like me tonight. Where thou goest will I go. Your people will be my people, your God is my God. Where you die will I die. Where you bury will I be buried. Don't be like the rich young ruler. Close to me tonight. Close to thee. Until you're wrapped up in his love, become a prisoner of his word. Shepherd of the sheep, lead me to the veil of shadows. Oh, he is waiting for you tonight. Arms open wide. Just be identified with him. To receive him into your life tonight. Life's frequency. Can't you feel he's taking his soul over all that troubled water tonight? Where there's peace? Then the gate of life eternal. A revelation to enter his presence. The gate where he places his name. Where he can meet you under the blood of Jesus Christ. May I enter, Lord, tonight. Close to thee, close to thee. A little closer.
little more sincere, a little more meaningful tonight. Oh, just make love to the Holy Spirit, close to you. Good is, be close. Then the gate of life eternal. That's where you want to enter. In the safety zone. In the secret place.
Of life eternal.
May I enter, Lord. I know His presence is here, moving in the hearts of people. Just keep worshiping Him, not praise or worldly pleasure. Don't be too hurried to walk away. If we can sense the Holy Spirit, if we can feel Him close to you, tonight could be the night. Whatever you have desire in your heart, that God can do for you, you can receive it. It's just your faith to believe it, to yield yourself. Look at the Holy Spirit speaking to people and drawing them. Know the call given voluntarily, being led in the heart. That's the way God does it. My sheep will hear my voice. That's what He said. Oh, gladly will I toil and suffer. What are you backslide or lukewarm? Only let me walk with you. Close to me.
Closer to you than a brother.
Oh, that friend.